Welcome to another episode of the What's Good Games podcast, your source for video game news, commentary, analysis, and funny stuff every Friday. I'm Andrea Renee, joined in person by Miss Brittany Brombacher.
Hello.
And Miss Christine Steimer.
Hello.
We're back together again.
We are.
Oh, it's been forever.
And the most exciting part is your kitty.
Yes.
Mouse
walking in and out of the room.
Yeah.
He'll be back.
Bounced.
Bye-bye. So we haven't recorded an episode of the podcast together in a long time.
I think it was GDC.
No, really?
I mean, well, we technically did shows at PAX and E3.
Yeah.
But those are special occasions. I mean, like a regular show.
Wow.
Regular show.
Long time then.
I know. Yeah.
It's been a hot minute.
So nice.
For everybody watching at youtube.com/whatsgoodgames, you probably notice that we are in a temporary space. This is the future home of my office / guest room in my house, but right now it's the What's Good Games studio, while the actual studio is under construction. We'll give you guys updates and post some behind the scenes photos and videos and stuff on our Patreon page, patreon.com/whatsgoodgames, if you guys are interested in that, and we'll let you know when the new studio is going to be up and running, which we're very excited about. But it's not today, but I'm glad that you ladies are here. It's Halloweeny time.
Yes.
We're going to Halloween Horror Nights tomorrow. Very excited about this.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Don't worry, I'll hold your hands, Dimer.
Yeah, okay. No, I already volunteered. I will be the front woman. I will go head first into all the haunted houses. I just smile like an idiot the whole time. I literally just grin. I love it. And Simon's just
I'm just going to be there.
We'll sandwich
that's
you.
That's going to happen.
I'm going to be there.
We'll sandwich you, baby girl.
It'll be great. It'll be exciting. And speaking of exciting, Brittany, we're going to Fargo next week.
Fargo. That's not right. That's not right, is it?
Fargo.
Oh, North
Fargo.
Dakota.
It's all about the O's and the A's.
Fargo.
Oh.
It's not quite right, though.
Fargo.
I don't know what accent that is.
We'll work on it before you get there. Or maybe don't do an accent.
No, I told you, I've been told by many people before we went to Europe and now before going to Fargo to not even try to do the accent. And I won't. I won't offend anyone.
That's for the best.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. But the reason why we're going to Fargo, my hometown, is because of Extra Life for Kids. That's right. We are raising money alongside our friends at Kinda Funny to do a big old live event. It's happening at eGame Central from 12 to 6 p.m. on Saturday, October 26th. And you guys can come on down if you are in the area and you feel like driving over. We would love to see your faces. There's going to be lots of free play gaming stations. We're going to be doing some local tournaments. We have a bunch of cool prizes that you can win. And if you're going to be watching on the stream at twitch.tv/whatsgoodgames or at youtube.com/whatsgoodgames, you can also get in on the action. We are running a poster contest, which is super fun. So if you guys consider yourselves artistic or maybe you're a Microsoft Paint savant like Britt here, then we want you to submit your artwork. You can go to what's the bit.ly? It's bit.ly/WGGELposter.
I believe that's it. We were having some snafus with the links, but I think that's
we fixed
the
them.
Yeah.
So if you guys are interested in submitting your art, you can find those links on any of our social media channels. You can find them in the description below, whether you're listening on podcast or watching on YouTube. We would love to see your guys' art, so please do submit. Everybody that submits and everybody that votes by donation will get a digital copy, and of course the winner will get a special prize along with a physical signed copy as well. And we have all kinds of other cool stuff happening during the Extra Life stream that we're going to be announcing on the show next week. So that way you guys get a preview before the streams happen on Saturday. But then Friday, the night before, October 25th, Steimer is going to be getting on an airplane, but Britt and I are going to be drinking at Barcode in West Fargo. So please
Steimer
come meet us.
Drinking on an airplane.
We'll see about the drinking on the airplane, but yeah, that'd be nice. Maybe I will. I'll drink one in spirit. I'll be like,
yeah, it'll be great. And because Steimer is going to be traveling, we decided to invite our dear friend Joey Noel to join us in Fargo. So we're super excited to announce that Kinda Funny's own Joey will be joining us at the meet and greet. So we're going to do kind of like a what's good cross Kinda Funny. Joey hashtagged it what's funny, which I kind of like.
That's cute.
Yeah.
And then there's the other one, kind of good.
Kind of good. I like kind of good and what's funny.
It's funny.
those are good crossover names. Yes. Also, I like that you had to add another brunette to like just round it all out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
make it even.
Exactly. Yeah. I've been wanting to get Joey out to one of our events for a really long time. And I asked her if she would be available to go to Fargo. And she was like, oh my gosh, what? Yes. Let's make
fireball.
It happen. And I also told
like fire.
I know. It just gets worse and worse.
It's just spitballing into a terrible thing.
I was just gonna let you keep going.
Yargle.
Oh no. Okay, maybe I won't let
now
you keep
just
going.
Making up letters.
If you guys want to participate in any of these events, please check all of our social media channels. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/whatsgoodgames, and RSVP for the event and let us know that you're going to be there. It's gonna be a great time and we hope to see you out there. It might be cold. Bring a scarf.
It will probably be cold.
Yeah, there was just a big snowstorm. Someone today tweeted at us. It was like, look at this was my backyard a few days ago, but apparently it's all melted now. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Generally, Fargo gets at least one snowfall before Halloween. And in a rare occasion, there is snow like on the ground on Halloween, but it's not common.
Frosted pumpkins.
But it was always like kind of a crapshoot growing up if we had to wear like snow jackets underneath of our costumes or not. I'm serious.
You're like, I'm the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man and a witch.
A witch.
Yeah. I'm the witch version of this.
Well, this is why you like sometimes would pick costumes that you could like easily put like bulky sweatshirts and stuff underneath.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm getting distracted. Brittany.
Yo.
I think it's time for me to kick it over to you for our last piece of housekeeping and announcements.
Right. So we have another one-star review that is brought to us by Nostias. I don't know how to say her name, but this just came in this June, lady. So it's a very recent review.
Oh, boy.
It is called Trash Bimbo Poses. So I do it in this accent because a good friend of ours, and I don't know this person actually at all, so I can't say they're a good friend. Someone on Twitter tweeted me some messages, some one-star reviews that we can't see here. But apparently they're in the UK. What a mother's meeting. Clueless hens clucking in the coop. Female posers with no knowledge. We can see through your bowl.
You know what? That was actually a pretty good accent for
really?
You.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like that was like far and away your best.
Wait, can you read it one more time?
No, I can't do it again. I can't replicate perfection. Trash Bimbo Posers is the name of it. What a mother's meeting. Clueless hens clucking in the coop. Female posers with no knowledge. We can see through your bowl.
What a mother's meeting? Is that slang?
Yes.
This is all British slang.
Yeah.
Clueless hens clucking in the coop. I'm going to be honest. The reason I asked you to read it again is because the first time you read it, I thought it was like a mystery riddle or something.
Yeah. No, it does seem like it, right?
Are you
now, no, he's basically saying we don't know what we're talking about.
We're hens clucking in the coop.
We just cluck.
La, 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 la. That's not what hens sound like.
I was like cluck. Have you ever been in a chicken coop? Definitely not. That was better.
I'm getting so good at my sounds.
The reason why we decide to highlight some of these very silly one-star reviews is because we want you guys to know that it helps the show out a lot if you take a few moments from your day to go to your favorite podcast platform where you listen to the show and to leave us a 5-star review saying why you love the show and you know what is interesting to you about it, because those reviews definitely matter and they help with our rating in the ranks and then the charts, so it gets us up there so that when people search for video game podcasts, they can see that we exist and find us, and we can bring new people into the What's Good Games family.
Into the What's Good Games coop, where we cluck here all day.
Like dolphins, apparently.
We're just a bunch of clucking mother hens over here. Did I do that right?
Yeah.
But thank you to everybody who has been leaving some fantastic 5-star reviews. We see them. We read them. We love that you take the time to do this. It's just one way that you guys can support what we're doing here at What's Good Games without having to pay any funds, because we know that not everybody can contribute to the show financially. And so just a few moments of your time is all that we would ask for your support. All right. Now that we have been – chit-chatting away for the beginning of the show.
Cluck-clucking
indeed. I want to say thank you to this month's Patreon producers, Alex Rogopoulos, Chewy's Godson, David Iacolucci, Farris Attain, Mohammed, that's what I was saying there. And welcome to our Patreon community. It is their first week in the membership pool. It's Michael Sturgeon, Denise Atwood, Anna Kafka, Rakan Alshubat, Lior Brayman, Kailani Maywood, Alejandro Gaspar, Sugar Bear, and Ickity Ackity Oop.
Okay, that's the greatest.
I know, I was pulling these earlier and I was laughing. Ickity Oop.
Sugar Bear, Ickity Ackity Oop.
Yeah.
Put it together and what have you got? Ickity Ackity Oop.
Yep, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, great minds.
That's a little Disney for ya. All right, now I think it's time for us to get into the news. But before we do that, I have to tell you it's brought to you by MeUndies. Is that a good ghost noise?
That was really good.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, Halloween. I'm even wearing my I'm Here for the Booze t-shirt. Remember when planning your costume as a kid was like the most fun you could have pre-Christmas? And now that you're an adult, Halloween feels less Halloween-y sometimes, right? Sort of?
Yeah.
Well, MeUndies is bringing back the childlike joy of picking out the perfect costume with their spooky prints and Halloween costume onesies. That's right, you guys. Costume onesies.
Yeah.
Foo. So MeUndies, we talk about all the time on the show. We love them. I was wearing my MeUndies onesie last night. Britt was wearing her Star Wars lounge pants. Mm-hmm. They're spooky soft, you guys. Like designed to be the best thing you've ever put on your body soft. Like softer than a fluffy kitten dressed up in a pumpkin costume. Pumpkin costume?
Pumpkin.
Like softer than the brains of zombies. Than the brains zombies love to eat. That's what I meant to say. No, it's too far, too far. Don't think about eating brains, you guys. It's gross. You guys get the idea. These are the softest undies known to man, and they're also available in sizes extra small through 4XL. Soft for everyone. Different prints, colors, and styles. MeUndies has the most unique prints out there. But the Halloween prints, you guys, they are on another spooky level. And they're actually kind of cute. They're not just spooky, you know, because sometimes spooky things are like gross and scary looking and not necessarily cute looking.
Yeah.
Not like a pumpkin dressed in a kitten costume. Well, I got that backwards.
Now I kind of want to be a pumpkin with a kitten costume on.
It'd be adorable.
This year, MeUndies is coming out with a variety of festive prints to really put the boo in booty. Ooh. Now, you guys probably didn't think that undies would up your Halloween costume game. Well, think again. Their unique prints are designed to be mixed and matched and turned into the most guaranteed first prize at the costume contest costume. Now, if you don't feel like leaving your house, that's cool, too. Just wear the Halloween costume onesie to pass out candy and you're good to go.
Or to just eat all the candy by yourself.
Genius.
Oh, yeah.
MeUndies has a great offer for What's Good Games listeners. If you are a first-time purchaser, you'll get 15% off your order plus free shipping. And that 15% really makes a difference when you're buying a bunch of onesies, you guys. This is a no-brainer because you guys will also get that 100% satisfaction guarantee to get your 15% off a free shipping add-on and that guarantee. Of course, you guys got to go to MeUndies.com/WGG. That's MeUndies.com/WGG. MeUndies.com/WGG for 15% off. But seriously, the onesies are really comfortable.
Mm.
Our first story this week is kind of a multi-story. It's a doozy of one. So we're going to start with Riot Games. You guys may have seen this week, they are celebrating their 10-year anniversary of League of Legends. And they decided to just like explode with a bunch of news about new projects that they're working on. I fondly make jokes that Riot Games is not actually Riot Games, it's Riot Game, because they've only had League of Legends until Teamfight Tactics.
Oh, they
came
sure
out, which
showed
is
you
a mode within League of Legends. Is that accurate?
It's a mode. Is accurate.
And so now though they've pulled back the curtain on a bunch of other games that they're doing, essentially solidifying themselves as a multi-genre publisher, which is going to be very exciting to watch and see how these different styles of games are going to manifest within the Riot Games universe. So, let's
Before
begin.
You get into that, Let's do a little disclosures here, shall we?
Yeah.
So I don't talk about it a lot or almost at all, but I do work at Riot Games. That is my full-time job. So I've worked on a lot of the stuff that's in this. So therefore, what I will be doing for this segment, because I am horribly biased and I don't want to make any faces that I shouldn't make, or like say anything I shouldn't say, I'm going to wear the Sekiro mask. So if you're just listening to the show, that's why I'm quiet. I'm putting my Brittany's going to hold my mic for a second while I put this on.
Wait, before you put it on, I want to say how proud I am of all of the hard work you've done on this. You've been busting your ass for months. I call her all the time, or text her on her Slacker and be like, hey, we want to do these things. And she's like, I'm still working. And then the one time, technically three times, that she had texted me about playing Borderlands, I was busy and I felt bad about that. But I want to give you a pat on the back because I know that you've been working really hard.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks, friends.
Now we got lots of stuff to talk about. I'm excited, you guys.
Where'd she go? Oh my gosh, she's gone. Who is the sexy demon thing next to me?
It's Halloween. We got a demon. We brought a demon in as a special guest. all right, this massive write-up comes from Eurogamer. The title is, here's everything Riot announced for League of Legends 10-year anniversary. League of Legends just celebrated its 10-year anniversary, and Riot Games took the opportunity to announce a bunch of new games and projects in the pipeline. For starters, the developer revealed it was branching out into the world of strategy card games with Legends of Runeterra. It'll be free to play and feature cards based off notable LoL characters, as well as new characters from the titular region. Runeterra will have both free and paid ways to get cards. There are no, quote, surprise mechanics in this one, however, as players will be able to buy any card they want with currency they've bought or earned in-game. It'll launch in 2020 for both PC and mobile and is now open for pre-registration. You'll also be able to play it this week in London at EGX, the game show run by Eurogamer's parent company, Gamer Network. Next up, we've got Arcane, an animated series based off League of Legends, developed and produced by Riot Games and releasing in 2020. It follows the story of two LoL champions in Piltover? I think that's right.
That is correct.
Thank you. Thank you, Demon. In the oppressed underground of Zaan, though we don't exactly know who the main character will be, the trailer seems to have appearances from both Jinx and Vi. So it's possible they'll be pretty central to the plot. I'm going to stop there for a second because Britt and I watched this trailer. And if you guys have not seen any of the materials on all of these announcements this week, this animated trailer is definitely worth a watch. Even if you're not familiar with anybody in the League universe, the animation looks fantastic. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't even play a lot of League. I stopped playing at like level 7. And I've been desperately hoping for the game to come to console, which we'll talk about in just a minute. And I want to watch this series. So highly recommend you guys check out the trailer. What do you think about it, Britt?
Yeah. I mean, it just looked like something very approachable. It didn't look like something crazy. Because, I mean, if there's any reason for me to get into League, it would be because of the characters and their backstory. The gameplay, the MOBA thing, like, not my jam, not my jelly. But, you know, I love me. Good character, good story, good background, good animation. Am I holding the microphone too close to my face?
I was just double checking the levels. That's all.
All right, good.
Just doing some due diligence and making sure. Because every once in a while we're shooting the show, I have a slight moment of panic where I'm like, oh my gosh, did I hit the record button? And then of course I have. Of course I've hit the record button. But you know, like the panic sets in and then I have to like look and make sure the counter is counting. And it is.
Perfect.
Continuing on. Team Fight Tactics, Riot's answer to the auto chess craze, is coming to mobile early next year. Pre-registration on Google Play goes live. It's live already. It went live on the 16th of October. The developer also revealed its plans to release new sets of champions and abilities every 3 to 4 months for both PC and mobile versions. The next set launches on PC on the 5th of November. Remember the 5th of November. Named Rise of the Elements. Bonus points to whoever picked up that reference.
Not I.
This update will feature content based around you. Guessed it. The Elementals. League of Legends Wild Rift is up next, and it's a redesigned 5v5 MOBA coming to Android, iOS, and console. It features a lot of the same gameplay as LoL on PC, but has been rebuilt completely from the ground up to make a more polished experience for players on other platforms. Wild Rift will launch on mobile sometime in 2020, and pre-registration is open now on the Google Play Store for this one, too. So I'm going to pause here for a second. This is exciting. I was talking to Brittany while we were pulling this story and putting the show notes together, and I was like, Man, they announced a bunch of stuff, and for some reason, I missed that they announced that Rift was coming to console. I thought that they just announced it for mobile, which was, to me, as expected. I had heard rumblings that they were going to publish League on mobile for quite some time, which makes sense. Mobile games are huge around the world, especially competitive games are on the rise in regions like Asia and in South America. And so I was like, of course, Riot would be looking to put this on mobile. Are you okay, Britt?
I just,
is the demon bothering
you? I just have to glance up, and she's just like nonchalantly kind of staring, and it's just the best thing ever. I'm sorry.
But what I wasn't prepared for was the console announcement.
Right.
What did you think? We watched this gameplay reveal together.
You know, honestly, it does really nothing for me because I just don't really like MOBAs.
You're not a MOBA person.
No, I'm not a MOBA person, but I know a lot of people who are, and maybe if MOBAs came to a console, then maybe it would blow my skirt up a little bit. But I was wondering, you know, could this possibly fill your long-lost Paragon void?
So I was thinking about this myself, Britt. And for people out there who may be confused, MOBA stands for Multiplayer Online Battle Arena. And League of Legends is one of the top two, I would say, MOBAs in the world next to Dota 2. And there are a wide variety of them now. Paragon was the only MOBA that I was able to really deep dive into. I think over 800 hours.
I forgot. Wow.
Yeah, no, I was all the way in on Paragon, which was Epic Games MOBA that they canceled once Fortnite blew up. And I got real sad because I was like, you have enough money to hire more people to work on Fortnite. Let the Paragon team keep Paragon in.
If only.
Yeah. So sadly, that's gone. And the key difference, I mean, there's obviously like a lot of differences when you look at the specifics, but the visual difference to me that really affects gameplay is that Paragon was third person and League is top down. So stylistically very different. There was a lot of verticality in the movement of Paragon that I really liked. And I felt because you were so much closer to the characters, I got more attached to the heroes that I played in Paragon than I did with the champions that I played when I was playing League. And League's item system is much more intricate and has a lot more moving parts. And I thought it was just a lot more difficult to learn. You really have to study and figure out, you know, what your builds are going to be, what your strats are. And obviously there's a lot of resources for that because League's been around for so long.
So Paragon was more of like a baby's first MOBA, kind of, sort of?
Yeah, and I think the reason why I was able to get into it is because nobody else had played it either. And I feel like now going back to League, especially if I only was going to play on PC, that I would feel like such a noob and so out of touch with where the game has gone that I would feel intimidated to play. I really would.
That's fair.
And with Paragon, nobody had played. And so we were all kind of starting at the same level.
But look how good you got. You just got to jump in. So maybe when this comes to console, you can give it a shot.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to. I don't like how what they showed was very clearly for touch interface. Like, the gameplay looks like it's only for mobile. And I'm interested to see if the menus in the console version are going to be different or if they're going to be identical. I know that they are claiming that it's rebuilt specifically for mobile and console. But to me, those are wildly different things.
Right.
Building for mobile and mobile platform where you're tapping the glass versus using a controller, to me, are not the same. But I also don't make games, so maybe they're doing something really innovative. And if so, I can't wait to play.
Perfect.
But I will definitely be trying. 2020 sometime. Maybe. In 2020.
For lucky.
All right, moving on. Bringing it back to League of Legends itself, the 146th champion. OMG.
Wow.
146th.
I did not realize there were so many champions.
Has been teased. Senna is a support character that will have a marksman-like playstyle, and she'll hit the public beta on the 29th of October before heading to the live servers on the 10th of November. What? This demon is bothering you again?
No, okay. It's great.
LoL will also be bringing back Ultra Rapid Fire, or URF. I'm just going to call it URF because it sounds funny.
LoL URF. Sorry. People call it Earth anyway, so you're right.
Okay, perfect. A limited-time game mode that players have wanted to return for 4 years. On top of all that, Riot Products will start supporting the Arabic language, and it's releasing 9 albums of music from each session of LoL to music streaming platforms today. And I also, I think, saw that IMAPIT is doing custom vinyls. Yes? The demon nods, yes, that's happening as well. So if you are more of a traditionalist with your music, check out our friends over at I Am 8-Bit. They've got some really pretty vinyls that you can add to your vinyl collection. And finally, Riot has announced that it will be making its very own competitive shooter, codenamed Project A. Oh, we didn't talk about Project F. That's in the last paragraph. Yeah. It will be a tactical character-based game set on a near-future Earth, and each character will have unique abilities to help them in combat. That's about all we know so far, but more details will be revealed next year. So this is a really interesting trailer, too. So we watched this together, and the first thing I said when we were watching this trailer was, wow, this looks like Counter-Strike.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is that even though the gunplay looks like Counter-Strike, the art style looks a lot like Overwatch. And so it's, I think that there's obviously going to be comparisons between those two, but the gunplay in the trailer looked to me a lot tighter than the gunplay in Overwatch. I think when you think about Overwatch gameplay, there's so much focus on the abilities of each of the individual characters and how they interact with each other in their respective classes that sometimes the gunplay gets lost because most of the characters don't have guns. Or not traditional guns. They have, like, weird alien guns. But
so I was wondering, are they going to make new characters for this game, Project A? I mean, they can't really... Can they pull their characters that they already have? They already have 146 of these things.
Of course they... Of course they can pull them. But I would guess that they're going to make new characters and have a new, you know, lore and a new world. And then there's going to be crossover. Kind of like how Blizzard crosses over their characters into their games.
Yeah.
That would be my guess.
It's exciting. I mean, it's really cool to see Riot doing that. I feel like everything's just kind of coming into one big, like, universe of Riotness.
That's why I think that they're really kind of setting themselves up as a publisher that could potentially challenge what Blizzard is doing. The big difference, of course, that Blizzard has a long history of publishing and developing games of multiple genres, and Riot does not. Riot has always just been the MOBA people, and so we're really going to have to see once these games are released if they're going to be able to all be successful, because it would be very impressive if they, you know, nail the landing on all of them, but I don't anticipate they will.
But yeah.
You know, because that's really difficult to do.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to play this and check it out. It looks cool.
Yeah,
the video looks good.
It again looks great. I'm happy for you, girl. But it's just like, it just doesn't do anything for me personally. Yeah. But yeah, it, like I said, it's just exciting to see Riot really expanding this universe they have. And like you said, like if they can create just this huge thing where they have, I don't know, it's just exciting. It's cool because right now, you know, a lot of people are looking, you know, where, how can they get away from Blizzard? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, it's
and
fair.
Then Riot's like, Kapuya, look what we got.
A lot of stuff.
But wait, there's more.
Oh, man.
There's a few other bits and pieces to round up, too. Project L, a fighting game set in the LoL universe, is in early stages of development, which is crazy to me that's in early stages because Seth Killian went to work at Riot and took his fighting game with him multiple years ago, and then he's now working in Epic's esports division. And so, like, the project that he had been working on and his fighting game that he brought there kind of was in this limbo, and nobody really knows what's going on with it, if they even used what he created and what he and his team had put together, if they repurposed it, what's happening. So that it's still in early stages is kind of wild to me. I would have guessed that it would have been in like mid to late stages at this point, but I guess
development's hard sometimes.
It's also possible that they decided to scrap everything that team worked on and start over.
Yeah.
There's also Project F, which is what you're most excited about.
Yeah, so we don't know a lot about this one. The one thing I'm most excited about, man, but all the articles that I'm seeing are saying it looks like a Diablo-style action RPG where you and your friends can run around the world and do League of Legends things. We don't know jack shit about it, so there's really not a heck of a lot, but there was like a few second clip that I was able to find, and it looks like there's some cinematic intro, and then you and your people are like running around top down, so that looks like more something up my alley, and that could be a good way for me to kind of get into this new Riot universe, I guess, this and the animated series. But hey, that's all I got.
No, but I think it's interesting that they're really diversifying the types of genres. So not only are they obviously continuing with their, you know, premier MOBA, but we have the card game, we've got a tactical shooter, we've got a fighting game, and potentially an action RPG.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. They came, they saw, they delivered.
Well, they've teased.
They've teased.
I wouldn't go so far as to say that they've delivered yet.
They delivered tantalizing news.
Yes, that is correct.
There we go.
And lastly, League of Legends Origins is going to be a feature-length documentary on LoL's community. And, of course, oh, wait, there's one more thing.
Oh, my goodness.
League of Legends Esports Manager is a team management game that will launch in the LoL Pro League next year.
That was a good E3.
I am kind of confused as to why they didn't do at least some of these announcements or this entire presentation at Worlds. Wasn't but, ready. Know, yeah, I get to make their own news beat now.
Yeah, absolutely. They did, and they did.
They sure did.
Can we summon Steimer back? Does anyone have any holy water we can sprinkle on this demon next to us?
Oh my god, I almost took a nap under here. Like, it's so dark. It's like, oh, hello world. I probably have marks on my forehead, but that's okay.
I don't see any. I think you're good.
Cool.
I have questions, but later. Off camera. Questions.
She's going to give you the, I do not comment on rumor or speculation.
I'm a very good employee.
Exactly. Well, what we could do is we can get someone from the official PR team to maybe answer some of our questions. I feel like we know somebody on the PR team.
I feel
team
like
Riot.
We do. I feel like we could fix this.
Okay. We'll get them on. We'll do an official interview. It would be great. Moving on to another massive story that happened. It technically kicked off Friday after the show posted. You may have heard about a black hole in Fortnite. So this was really wild, and it was really cool going back and watching streamer reactions to this happen, because I don't think anybody expected this to go down the way that it did. So everyone knew that season 11 was upcoming and that they were going to do some kind of announcement about it. But they took it one step further and did this amazing in-game event, which, you know, Fortnite has been doing over the last year or so, and really kind of doing cool, innovative things inside the game, and then decided to just, like, delete the game?
It was so crazy to what I saw a clip of it, and I was just like, this bonkers. It's bonkers, especially, like, watching people's reaction. They're like, wait, I can't control my character anymore, right? Like, and, like, you're just shot out into space, basically,
yeah,
and sucked. Into
so all
the black
this started
hole.
Going down when I was still in Orlando. So can you give me a brief like recap of like...
So like everyone's, you know, hanging out on the island.
Anticipating something
happening. And then like rockets start going off from each of the areas in the world. So there's like different ones on the map. They fire up and then they all hit something and then come down, and basically then it's like Armageddon. Like
it's like there was like this one giant like beam of light that like came down that looked like the Hammer of Dawn.
Yes, it does, right? it does look like the Hammer of Dawn. And it just basically like starts to implode the island, and then you as the character would just like float up. That's when they would lose control of their character.
Oh.
And like you kind of gravity float into space as then that Hammer of Dawn now becomes a black hole center, and everything gets sucked into the black hole, and then it's just
black. That's cool. Millions of people
I was
watched
like
the
this
black
is
hole.
Dark this is some dark shit to be like, you know what, you're all insignificant and as is life.
Yeah,
here we go.
It was wild hearing people's like real-time reactions, some streamers being like, oh, this is cool, when are they gonna bring it back, and other people like crying and being like really upset. They're like, I can't believe they destroyed the island. I've spent so many hours here. Like, where's everything that I know and I love, you know? And because they just went, they literally went radio silent.
Oh, they deleted
like
all their,
a full 36 hours.
Yeah, it was more than a day.
It was close to 2 days, but not quite a full 2 days.
Yeah,
but it was definitely more than a day. And I think that's when people were like, okay,
oh my god, but really, what's happening? Oh, what's going on?
Getting the shakes.
Yeah. Is this a joke? Bring the game back though. And people got very upset and were demanding refunds. They're like, I can't believe you deleted the game, because like the Twitter account was just like, this is the end.
Well, yeah, they deleted
like,
everything. Yeah, they deleted everything, right? And they just made their profile picture, I think, a black picture or something.
Black hole.
And so people were like freaking out and getting all upset, and then Riot comes back. Not Riot, sorry. Epic comes back and it's just like, hey guys, it's Fortnite 2.
Chapter 2.
And I'm just like, what the heck is going on? But the trailer was super impressive, and I tweeted that I don't even like Battle Royale, but it kind of makes me want to play, and it's not just because of the fishing, or maybe it is.
It's just wild that people would ask for refunds, and then it makes me think of how many people play Fortnite so casually that they don't understand how the gaming industry works, and of course they're not taking the game away permanently. Are you
right,
kidding?
They'd be like, okay. That would be the worst move of all time.
You're
like, yo, I don't want any more
That'd
of
be
this
pretty good,
money.
Though.
Like, I'm good. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Yeah, interesting.
Anyway, it's never gonna happen.
Yeah, it's just
yeah. I thought this whole thing was pretty fun to watch and was interesting, and I thought it was really bold, and I liked it a lot. I also liked that they waited as long as they did, but like not too long, but like kind of long enough for mm-hmm. people to have that questioning moment of like, mm-hmm. wait, but what are they doing here? And then they were like, here you go.
I think Monday night Ninja tweeted a hint, and it was just tacos, because Taco Tuesday.
Tacos are good.
I saw that anyway.
Oh, well, let's go ahead and dive into what is new in Fortnite Chapter 2. I don't know if I'm going to read all of this. Yes. It does rhyme. But this write-up also comes from Eurogamer, and they write, the Fortnite Chapter 2 overhauls the game's map, mechanics, items, and more. Many new location features across the map. Yes, those ones previously spotted in an earlier leak, so that leak was correct. Such as Craggy Cliffs, Steamy Stacks, Sweaty Sands, wow. Frenzy Farm, Dirty Docks, Misty Meadows, Weeping Woods, Holly Hedges, Lazy Lake, and Slurpee Swamp.
Slurpee Swamp is the grossest of those names.
Yeah, agreed.
Makes me want a Slurpee, though.
But some old points of interest have returned. Pleasant Park, Salty Springs, and Retail Row will be immediately familiar. Risky Reels is also back after a long absence. And while the map itself looks new, there's a lovely revamp of the game's lighting. Fans will find just enough familiar. Weeping Woods, for example, is a mashup of Lonely Lodge and Wailing Woods, down to the same bear statues. Fans have also begun to find plenty of Easter eggs pointing to the old map, including burnt-out Durburger and Tomato Head mascots. Mm-hmm. On to the new gameplay, you'll quickly find that you can now swim in water, and there's no insta-death if you dive off the edge of the island map. Head out too far, though, and you'll simply hit an invisible wall. As expected, boats are now the game's key vehicle. We've tried to drive one on land, and you don't get very far.
You don't say.
Pick up a fishing rod, meanwhile, and you'll be able to catch fish, which will reward 50 health points. And yes, you eat them raw and wriggling. There's an achievement for that. In team modes, you can now carry fallen teammates and opponents and heal from afar with the Bandage Bazooka Health Cannon. And you can also now hide in haystacks and rubbish dumpsters. And you can blow up petrol stations and explosive barrels. If you guys want to find out all of the details on what's new in Fortnite Chapter 2, you can head on over to Eurogamer.net and read their entire article. But we're not going to go through all of the changes here, but I just thought it was really interesting to talk about it because Fortnite has been such a mainstay in video game news really since it blew up. Right, what was that, 2 months after launch?
Three months after launch? Yeah.
And they've been iterating and innovating and doing really cool things, and really hats off to the team at Epic Games for really putting a commitment to making content and I think really setting an industry standard for what defines value in a free-to-play game.
Yeah, not a lot of people can take their game down for 36 hours or so and come back and be crazy to me still that happened.
And all the people who are watching, like, we don't have the numbers in that story, but the amount of people watching a black screen, because once that thing happened, it was millions of people. Mm-hmm, I think at least a million people watching on YouTube. I don't know how many on Twitch. And everyone I think was just so dumbfounded that they were like, but how long? And like, it's one of those things where it's the sunken cost fallacy of like, if I just keep watching, maybe it will I've already put in this much 4 hours. I may as well keep watching for the rest That's of the insane. 32.
It goes to show you how freaking popular this thing is and how much of a just cultural movement it has. It's pretty fascinating. I wonder what the reception's been to the new stuff. I haven't seen anything yet, but
apparently, according to this article on QZ.com, this event was the most watched event in Fortnite's history. Yeah. At its peak, more than 4 million people watched the event on YouTube, according to gaming consultant Rob Breslow. And searches for Fortnite were at the highest on Sunday than at any point over the past 12 months, according to Google. Though those numbers do pale in comparison to the more than 10 million people who tuned in to watch DJ Marshmello perform in Fortnite back in February.
I have a very important email I got from Chris Jackson from Pornhub.
Oh.
So this came from him, and he says, hey, how's it going? I wanted to share with you a brand new insights post courtesy of Pornhub following Fortnite's black hole shutdown. According to the data report, while Fortnite servers went down and its world was replaced with an ominous black hole starting on Sunday, October 13th, Pornhub found that searches to the site containing black hole increased by an astronomical 9,640%.
But 9,640%.
It's a high percent.
Searches containing Fortnite were 152% above average by Monday, October 14th, representing hundreds of thousands of additional searches while players were deprived of their game. Traffic among gaming fans remained higher than normal over the first 24 hours of the outage, according to the Google Analytics Affinity data. The peak traffic increase of 10.6% occurred at 9 p.m. Eastern on Sunday for the demographic.
So
the kids were curious.
The kids were curious. That should be Pornhub's tagline. Yeah, they're like, you know, I can't get into the game, so I guess I'll get off to the game.
Wow, that's a good one.
That was good.
Timer.
That was really good.
Very nice.
Like, look at this chart. This is people looking for Fortnite searches, and then here's the black hole searches.
Boop. I'm kind of curious what a Fortnite search on Pornhub would turn up.
Honestly, same.
I feel like we have
Can
to
we do this later
research.
Tonight? Yeah.
Yeah. I think what you'll see a character's boinking.
Yeah. We'll do it for research and we'll report back next week.
I love our job.
John, you've been warned. If you look at my history,
incognito tab, baby.
It was for science. All right, let's move on to the next story. Britt, you want to read this one?
Yeah, I forgot to get the... Okay, this comes from Game Informer. It's called Google Stadia Launches November 19th. I read that from the URL. Go me. So Google Clever announced girl. Today that its bold entry into console-less gaming will arrive on November 19th. With servers launching at 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, fans will either have to pre-order the Founders Edition or subscribe to the Stadia Pro plan. At $9.99 a month, the Pro subscription gives players access to 4K resolution, better sound, and access to a growing library of free titles, starting with Destiny 2, The Collection. The Founders Edition of Stadia comes with 3-month subscription of the Pro plan, a Chromecast Ultra, an exclusive controller, a buddy pass to share with a friend, and a first crack at a unique username for the service for $129. Fans wanting to test out the service without paying for the Founders Edition or Pro subscription will have to wait a bit longer, though. Google has stated that the Stadia's base plan won't be available until next year and won't have access to perks such as 4K gaming or the free games the company will provide with the service. In the last paragraph, I can just skip. So this is coming, ladies and gentlemen.
It sure is. That's, you know, a month from now.
Yeah, a month-ish. So did we ever talk about when we played Stadia at... What convention was that?
PAX. We did talk about it.
Okay, I couldn't remember.
We basically were like, oh, it looks good, but
couldn't see any of the UI. You don't really know how it works.
It's still like in a vacuum.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was another story, that I found.
She found.
Let me pull it up really quick.
Another story.
We knew it was coming in November, but now we have the exact date.
Yes.
So this comes from Tom's Hardware.
What?
Google's wireless Stadia controller has a wired caveat. You might need a wire. Google delivered some sneaky news to Stadia Founders Edition pre-order customers on Tuesday. The company published a new video meant to explain the appeal of Stadia gaming streaming platform, but in the fine print, it revealed that at launch, the Stadia controller would only support wireless play when paired with the Chromecast Ultra. Using the controller with any other device requires a USB-C cable. Huh. Even that isn't guaranteed. A Google community manager said on Reddit that when plugged in via USB cable, the Stadia controller acts as a standard USB HID controller, which may work on other platforms depending on the game and setup. Anyone looking to use the Stadia controller with multiple devices now has to carry around a USB-C cable and hope the game they want to play supports USB HID controllers. Now, you wouldn't know that the Stadia controller was limited in such a way by looking at its product page on the Google Store website. The product copy says, with the Stadia controller, switch between TVs, laptops, desktops, a Pixel 3, a 3A, with cross-screen early access starting from day one, which is a lie. A footnote makes it clear that playing on TV requires a Chromecast Ultra, but it doesn't mention wireless support. Google had plenty of time to make this clear to potential Stadia controller buyers ahead of the device's launch. The controller's design was leaked back in March and was officially revealed in June when it also became available for pre-order. Yet the only disclosure of its limited wireless capabilities arrived in fine print on a YouTube video published just a few weeks before the debut on November 19th.
Oh, whoops.
Huh. But One more thing. The good news is that Google told The Verge that Stadia's controller's limited wireless capabilities are supposed to be temporary. Once it can get wireless support working on devices other than Chromecast Ultra and make switching between them as seamless as possible, it will expand it, but there's no telling how long that will take. Stadia controller owners could be stuck with their USB-C cables for a while. This is unbelievable. When I read this, I was like, why is nobody else talking about this? That is huge that it's not a truly wireless controller except for with the Google device.
Yeah.
That is bonkers.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a great look. It's especially when they're like, well, we'll fix it later. And I'm like, oh. But how, what does that mean?
I mean, also, like, my jaw's just open like, huh? Wait, what?
Yeah.
It's
a bit of a head scratcher. I mean, obviously I understand why they're trying to continue pushing that it's wireless, but also, do you think no one's going to figure it out when they get it to their house? I mean for this one it comes with the Chromecast Ultra, so the Founders Edition get away with. But if anybody doesn't and tries to do it on their own, they're going to be in for a rude awakening.
I just think it's such a ridiculous thing to not openly address and just keep it to the fine print. And maybe it's because they know people are going to be upset. Now, I think it's important to also remember that Stadia is allegedly supposed to work with any USB or Bluetooth device. Mm-hmm. So if you have a DualShock 4, you have an Xbox One controller, hypothetically, it should work. They have said as much. They've said they will work. But I think the idea of Stadia...
Well, they also called this a wireless controller, so who fucking knows?
It's true. Yeah.
I mean, it better work with those.
If this thing is coming out November 19th, I mean, that's, like Steimer said, a month from now, I feel like we still haven't seen any definitive proof that this thing works amazing as they're saying it does. And now, like, the fact that this little controller thing kind of snuck in there. Someone said something on Twitter that I was like, that's about right. It's like when someone hands you a box and it's really cool, but the bottom of the box is like soggy. I don't know what the analysis was, but it's like, here's this really cool thing. And then the bottom just falls. It's all like gross and nasty on the inside. It's kind of how I feel about this.
It's like a rotted pumpkin.
Yeah.
It just also feels like they're launching it in early access, which is so weird for a piece of hardware that is coming, you know, to market the way that Stadia is. I wouldn't necessarily say it's, you know, completely off the wall, because we have seen, you know, hardware, you know, early access hardware sort of, but they're marketing this like it's a founder launch, you know? Like, I think about like Xbox Day One Edition or like the original PlayStation 4 when they launched. Like, sure, did it have a couple of issues that they iterated on? And even like the Nintendo Switch, like now there's a better version of Nintendo Switch that's available. But
I'm still mad at myself for not switching it. Fuck.
I see what you did.
Screwed that up.
But not having a core feature set that you've promoted available at launch and not having a definitive date when it's going to be available, when one of the reasons to justify that price tag for the Founders Edition is the proprietary controller.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, ah.
Well, I am a Founders Edition purchaser because curiosity killed the Brit. And so I'm going to – I did have to pre-order it because you know me.
Oh, no. We have one coming too. Yeah. For sure.
So it's just going to be interesting. I'm excited.
I don't. But that is also very unsurprising.
No. Yeah, I know. I'll just buy everything. Yeah, it's going to be a thing. I think we've seen enough in this industry where kind of like the red flags are kind of starting to like peek out a little bit, you know? And it's like, okay, I think we know what we're going to get from this. We're going to get something that doesn't work quite like they said it would. There's going to be issues. Eventually it'll be fine, but it's just too bad that it's kind of the thing now where people just release their shit early.
Yeah,
it's like, don't do that.
Someone's got to make their, what is this, Q3 Q4
yeah
goals.
Do you ladies remember in 2017, this reminded me of it, remember that Atari console that they crowdfunded? We were gonna, or was that 2017 or 2018? One or the other. It's starting to make the news again because, of course, it's like not out yet. Remember? So I put it in my calendar. Did the Atari come out? Because I gave this a year.
You did.
I did. And that time has come and gone. But now, and I forgot about it and I missed the calendar reminder.
Oh, the calendar reminder was in there?
It was in my Gmail calendar. But because it's starting to make the news again because people are leaving. One of the main designers cited like 6 months of no pay. So now he's gone.
How do you live 6 months without getting paid?
I don't know. it's just a thing, or unpaid invoices for 6 months. Anywho, yeah, so it's still not out yet, and now they're saying 2020, and it's kind of like not as bad.
Oh yeah, here's the story. The Verge.com reports Atari disputes reports that its retro-inspired console is doomed. The project's architect has quit and claimed he hasn't been paid in months. Apparently, they put out a lengthy development update earlier this week. What is this from? This is from October 10th, so last week. Mm-hmm. One source with knowledge of the project reportedly described it as, quote, shit show.
My favorite term.
And the console is reportedly shaping up to be more of a Linux PC than a dedicated games console. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Yeah, I never, when this story came out, I was like, whatever.
This is not happening. This is not,
yeah. And though it's, it makes me sad whenever projects go this awry, because
I think they crowdfunded
so mismanaged.
$3 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's, but it's like fool's gold, right? Like everyone's running for the hills looking for something to make money with. And
yeah.
Not going to happen.
Nope. Well, just well.
Rip.
Rip. Indeed.
Oh, we get to have the best story now.
We have Pokemon stuff. Oh, I added it in here.
All right. Have at it, ladies.
You want to read it, Simon?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Can you see it?
I can see it from here.
This computer is sometimes.
How do I scroll up?
Yeah, okay, there you go. You did the thing.
Okay, everybody, are you ready? Hold on to your butts.
Ooh.
Thick Pikachu and long cat Meowth coming to Pokemon Sword and Shield. The Pokemon Company revealed new Gigantamax forms of Pokemon like Eevee, Charizard, and Butterfree coming to Pokemon Sword and Shield. And the most important thing you need to know is that Pikachu is extremely fat again in its Gigantamax form. Also, Gigantamax, that is a mouthful.
Yeah.
Meowth is excessively long, but in a good way.
So that's what she said. Pillow is right here. I can't grab it.
I winked. The story did not wink. Also, this is from Polygon. Sorry. A new trailer for Pokemon Sword and Shield shows off Gigantamax Pikachu and others revealing all new, seemingly very meme-y, giant-sized Pokemon. They come with exclusive new moves like Pikachu's... Get the pillow ready. G-Max Volt Crash. Yeah, G-Max. Which damages and paralyzes its opponent.
Oh, girl, I'm going to G-Max Volt you.
Oh, shit. Well, that'll be an adventure, won't it? But be warned, Gigantamax Pikachu appears to be available to players only if they have, quote, play records from Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu on their Nintendo Switch. So get playing that if you haven't already. It's the same deal for Gigantamax Eevee. The giant fluffy form and its G-Max cuddle move. Oh, it's a cuddle. It's so nice. Will require play records from Pokemon Let's Go Eevee. Similarly, Gigantamax Meowth is listed as an early purchase bonus for Pokemon Sword and Shield. Players need to select the Get Via Internet option in Mystery Gift between Friday, November 15th to Wednesday, January 15th, 2020, if they want this long, long cat with a big, big coin.
Goodness.
The Gigantamax Meowth looks like one of those inflatable things at a car.
Like wacky inflatable.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm trying to get a picture.
He looks like one of those.
Wavy tube man.
Yeah.
A wavy tube man. That's exactly what Meowth looks like.
Oh, this is the last time I let my husband choose which Pokemon Let's Go game we play. I wanted to play Pikachu. He wanted Eevee, so we played Eevee. Now I don't get thick Pikachu. And I'm quite upset about it.
You should divorce your husband.
I know. We have this plan.
Wait,
remember?
Can't you still do it?
I could fire it up. I have it.
But yeah, have to buy the other game.
I haven't.
I have it.
I got well, Pikachu. He got Eevee.
You only need a little bit of safe, all right? It's not like you need to beat the game.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Just hop on and like catch a Pokemon and leave.
So the reason thick Pikachu is very exciting is because Pikachu originally looked like this back in the day.
Yeah,
right?
he was originally thick.
A little thick
OG
boy.
Thick boy.
Super sweet, thick boy. And now, you know, he's back in Gigantamax.
Now he's been on keto for a while.
He's
thinned out. But now he's, you know, he's eating the carb life again.
Ew. Back on that donut train.
Back on that sweet, sweet carb life.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So there's Dynamax and then this is the Gigantamax. Don't forget. There's two forms of Max around
here. There's
here.
So many forms. So many things.
And then I just added a few other pieces of Pokemon news because a few outlets that I'm extremely jealous of got to play the first, I think, hour and a half of Pokemon Sword and Shield. And one of the main draws of these games that I'm very excited about are the wild regions. And this is a little clip from Game Informer that I pulled that talks about it. I think it was Brian that played it. The wild areas feel large from the very beginning. In this part of Galar, the camera swings behind my character and I can rotate at 360 degrees. As I run through the area, different biomes present themselves with unique Pokemon running and flying around. I don't have time to venture into the tall grass to see which Pokemon are hidden there, but I notice the weather changes between the different parts of the wild area, dictating to an extent which Pokemon appear. So, like, this isn't necessarily anything new, but this is, like, the exciting part about these games is this is, you know, we don't have our Breath of the Wild style Pokemon just yet, and who knows if we'll ever even get those. But it's cool to hear that on Game Informer's coverage and then other coverage as well, people seemed really excited about it. You can run into super, like, tall bad boy Pokemon that'll kick your ass. You kind of have to, like,
run away. Bad boy Pokemon. Now I want, like, some, like, hot tatted Pokemon. Up, like, pierced, gothy Pokemon.
Yeah, like a coughing.
Yeah, but like not a bong version. Wait, no, was that coughing?
Yeah, no, that's Alolan Weezing.
Weezing.
Oh, not Alolan, Galar and I don't know. Yeah. And then another little piece of random tidbit news that's really not that important, but I threw it in here, is that the game will be 10.3 gigs. And for reference, the Breath of the Wild was 13, Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu Eevee was 4, Mario Kart 8 is 8, Xenoblade Chronicles 2 is 16, and Splatoon 2 was 7. So. It's meaty.
It's also a little thick.
Oh, like our new Pikachu friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Pokemon, it's coming up soon, very soon.
That's what she said. She said it's a little thick.
It's a little thick. That's what she said moment.
All right. Now I can wake up from my nap that I took while you guys were talking about Pokemon.
It's not my problem that you don't like thick mice.
I told you after watching Detective Pikachu, I'm more invested in Pokemon than I ever have been before. And then Ponyta came out last week.
Yes, Ponyta is very much our jam.
And yeah. I am all about the cotton candy unicorn that Ponyta is, and I'm down.
Are you going to have just all food Pokemon?
Yes.
All right. Cotton candy Ponyta, the ice cream Pokemon.
Ooh.
Yeah. That
sounds great. Oh, you're making me hungry.
Well, let's get snacks after this. Let's take a break, shall we?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for hanging in with a very long news section this week. When we come back, we're going to talk about what we have been playing, and it includes my special preview of Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Stick with us. We'll be right back. What's good, everybody, and welcome back to the What's Good Games podcast. This is segment 2, where we talk about what we've been playing. And this week, it's brought to you by patreon.com/whatsgoodgames. If you guys missed our Patreon exclusive streams that happened this week, be sure to check out the archives by signing up for a membership today. You can start for as low as $2 a month. That helps us keep the lights on, quite literally, here at What's Good Games. And we appreciate all of the support from all of our fantastic members. And we've got lots of cool vlogs and photos and polls and voting and all kinds of stuff.
All sorts of stuff.
Speaking of voting and whatnot, that's what our third segment's about this week. We're not there yet, but when we get there, it's going to be a topic that our patrons chose.
Ooh, I'm excited for this one. And it's spooky themed. It's going to be great. But now we're talking about video games.
Oh.
And this week, I got to play Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. So Electronic Arts and Disney invited a bunch of media down to Anaheim to get hands-on with the game. They gave us about 3 hours of hands-on time and then invited us to Disneyland, which was convenient for me because I love Disneyland.
Yeah, Disneyland.
And we got to see Galaxy's Edge and try Smuggler's Run and go to the Cantina and try a bunch of fun Star Wars drinks. And it was all in all a very rousing good time. I'm very happy that I was in the morning session of hands-on, which is why they gave us Disneyland passes, because they had to cycle media through the gameplay stations that they had. And so they're like, well, if you're just going to be hanging out and you've got free time, might as well go to Disneyland. Right there.
Yeah, that's great.
And I was like, well, if you insist, I guess I'll go. So it was a really fun day, and I got to see a bunch of cool people, but more importantly, I got to play the game. So I unfortunately missed the EA Play version of the game. Obviously, I was out. I had that emergency surgery, so I didn't get a chance to play hands-on. We talked about it on the show because you guys got to see it.
Mm-hmm. We got to see it. We didn't get to play it.
Right, because it was, I think, a very small group of people that got hands-on with the game at EA Play.
Those people.
But I'm actually really glad that I didn't get to play and I got to go in fresh to what we played this time, because I think I went in without expectations and I walked away very, very excited for this game.
How long did they let you have?
Just about 3 hours.
Oh, okay, good. Nice little chunk.
Yeah, so we had a nice big chunk of the game. And I was talking with Vince Zampella afterwards, and I was like, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword because obviously I want to play. I want to see the game, learn about it, but also now I know I have to go play all of this over again.
Yeah, that's always my big sticking point with any preview event. I kind of don't want to go because I just know that I'm going to have to play it again if it's for a game I really want to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then you're just like, man, I've got to do this all over again.
But I'm kind of glad in the sense that they made us do a puzzle section. So now I know how to solve that puzzle next time.
And you had help. You had your built-in cheat sheet just in case.
Exactly. So let me set up a little bit about what we played. So the demo had access to a couple of different planets. The main planet that we played on was called Zepho. The second planet that I went to at the very end of my demo was called Kashyyyk, which is what you guys saw in the E3 demo. And then they had a couple of other things that we could have looked at too, but one of them was like very further down the like line level-wise. And they were like, if you want to go check it out just to check it out, you can, but you're going to get your ass kicked.
You're going to die.
Yeah. And so I was like, you know what? I don't want to bother with that. I'm just going to stick with the part of the demo that I'm comfortable with because at the very beginning, they showed us a super cool fight with a character who I don't think I'm allowed to say.
Probably let's just err on the side of safety and do that. Yeah.
Let's just not. Yeah. But it was clearly like a boss fight for much further in the game, and they showed it to us to kind of demo the combat, and I'm so glad that they did because the combat absolutely feels very Soulsy in the sense that you have to
you're losing me here, bring it back.
Wait, I'm gonna bring it back. I say that because there's a lot of kind of anticipating how the enemy's gonna move. There's a lot of parry and block and dodging that you need to do to be successful. But once you get the hang of the combat, it feels really good, and it does not feel as punishing as the Souls games do.
Thank God.
Like, I was never one that really gravitated towards the Souls games because I just didn't have the patience to learn. But I really appreciate what they do with the combat
in
those games.
Brittany's shirt, would you say it's witchery? Because I feel like the combat in Witcher, you still needed to parry, you still needed to have timing, but it didn't feel like
punishing.
Yeah.
Yes. Good. Witchery is a good example.
Okay.
A lot of people that I've read previews of this week have been making comparisons to God of War's combat as well.
Okay. Those damn wolves.
Have been making comparisons to Tomb Raider's combat. And so I think what's interesting is that they do strike this unique balance because it's all based around the lightsaber and being able to upgrade your abilities. So playing as Cal, we got to see the ship. The Mantis is the name of the ship that you're going to be traveling on. And they've got like this little, there was a lot of kind of, it kind of gave me like Mass Effect vibes, like standing around the map.
Central hub kind of
area.
Yeah.
You could like pull up the planets and kind of jump between them, which was cool.
The bridge. Is that what it's called?
Yes. The bridge. There you go. And you get to meet your crewmates, Seer and Grease, and the actors that play these two characters are just phenomenal. Grease I already know it's going to be one of my favorites. I already see he's going to make it as a contender, if not the winner, of our NPC of the Year in the Wolfgang Game Awards.
You're going to be a contender, baby.
He's super funny.
Is he like a
comedic
Garrus?
Timing.
No. Isn't funny.
I think Garrus is hilarious.
Garrus has some one-liners. Grease is like this, like, I was going to ask what his breed is for all the Star Wars
species, race?
Species, yeah.
That's, like his breed? He's not a dog.
It just sounded weird.
Okay, yeah.
Because he's not human. He's an alien. And so I don't know what kind of alien
race
he is.
Or
a species, and I'm sure if you guys have, I don't know if they've showed him at all yet. But he's super funny, and he's got this great banter with Seer, who is the woman who plays Grace in Wolfenstein. I don't remember her name off the top of my head, but I recognize her face instantly. Mm-hmm. And I think that they make this really fun pair, and they have a lot of banter. And so I was playing on Jedi Knight difficulty. I dug into the menus a little bit and saw that they have four difficulty settings. So they have story mode, Jedi Knight,
which is normal.
which feels normal. Okay, yeah. Then Jedi Master and then Jedi Grandmaster. Mm. And I was talking to Vince about the difficulty levels, because what I really liked about what they did there is that they showed the different sliders and how the difficulty levels change. So they have sliders for parry timing, incoming damage, and enemy aggression.
Oh, cool.
And so obviously, like, the sliders change depending on which difficulty you pick. But what I like is that they show you how they change difficulty setting to the next. Whereas a lot of games hide all of that data and, like, don't really tell you what's harder. Like,
well, I assume, I know it's harder. I don't know if that just means the enemies are, like, spongier or what. Yeah.
Exactly. And so I was talking to Vince about the difficulty settings, and he was emphatic that Grandmaster is really difficult.
So is that like, that's like your Dark Souls level?
Yeah, it's like, if you consider yourselves savvy at the Souls games, then maybe that's something you want to explore. But for me, I'm really interested in seeing
have a good
more
time.
Of the story and feel more of the action adventure aspect of this than to get really
fucked up,
intense into combat.
Yeah.
But what's cool is they gave us a little tutorial where we got to use some of our Force powers. And so there's three skill trees that Cal has. The skill trees are lightsaber, survival, and force. So obviously you can level up your combat, your basic survival abilities, and then your force abilities. And so you can combo your lightsaber magic and your force abilities together. Yeah, it's pretty neat and it's super satisfying. Like there's a combo that I unlocked right away that allows me to do like a dodge, and then you like roll over the enemy and you like slice them with your lightsaber. Ooh. And the lightsaber combat feels weighty. It feels good. The blocking feels great. I was having a ton of fun with the combat in this game. And they also gave us a section where we got to do a really nice traversal with a puzzle element where BD-1 really shined. So BD-1...
OMG. All of the droids so in cute. Star Wars are my favorite. I love them all so much.
Yeah. And like BD-1 is just with you the entire time. He like hangs on your shoulder. Oh. And what's neat is when you're walking out around in the world, BD-1 will jump off your shoulder and run away if he's found a bit of lore. And so you can either choose to ignore him and keep walking, and then Cal will call for him and be like, let's go, BD-1. And then he'll run back. Or you can follow him and he'll scan something in the world and give you this like really nice tidbit of like Star Wars lore.
Oh,
which is cool.
What a good boy.
Yes, he's a very good boy.
Because of the, is it lore regarding the universe in general? Because someone like me, I don't know much shit about Star Wars.
Both. So okay. What was really interesting is we talked a lot. When I say we, I mean, I talked with other journalists at the event, other reporters about where this fits in with the canon of Star Wars, because not all of the Star Wars games have been canonical. Right. So this game is canon. It's going to be part of Star Wars canon from now until the end of time, which I think is really exciting, both for Respawn as a studio, but also for Star Wars fans who are, you know, itching for more lore and new characters. And Cal, at first, when I first saw him revealed as a character, I was not excited. Mm-hmm. I was not interested. I was like,
he's a basic Betty.
Yeah. I was like, no thanks. But now, after having spent time with him and seeing the way that he interacts, and I'm not going to give anything away about what we saw story-wise, but I'm way more invested now than I was before, and I'm really excited to see how he develops as a character and where he goes. And that also feeds into his relationship with BD-1. So BD-1, in addition to finding bits of lore, will also, you'll find chests in the world that he can open, and different kinds of chests require different BD-1 abilities. But the first ones are all cosmetic. So like, he'll find chests, you can get skins for BD-1, you can get different Jedi robes for Cal to wear, you can get customizable lightsaber parts. That was a really nice tidbit that makes the game feel personalized to you. And so I picked up about 5 or 6 different lightsaber parts during my playthrough, and I went to, there's a customizing like workbench in the ship in the Mantis where you can change your lightsaber out. And so it's really neat to see that, especially after having watched Greg and Tim from Kinda Funny do the lightsaber workshop at Galaxy's Edge inside Disneyland Park, which was a really neat experience. I didn't pay for it because I was like, that's really expensive, but I'll come in and watch.
There you go. I'm curious. So like, what could you do to your lightsaber?
So it's all cosmetic. Right. So you can change like little elements on the grip.
Okay.
I think I wrote down what some of the... Yeah, like I think I wrote down what the pieces are. Yeah, okay, so the customized lightsaber, so you can change the color, the emitter, the switch, the sleeve, and the material.
Ooh.
So 5 different customizable parts in the with the lightsaber. And so you pick those up just in the world. And as mentioned, many times on social media. I'm going to reiterate here. Respawn and EA have both said emphatically there are no microtransactions in this game. There are no loot boxes. There is nothing to buy. Everything that you can find customize-wise is available to pick up in the world and find.
Cool. So the only way to upgrade the lightsabers is through the skill tree that you talked about earlier.
Right. Power-wise.
Correct. Yeah. So okay. The customizations for the lightsaber are cosmetic only. If you want to upgrade your lightsaber abilities, that is done through skill points in the skill tree.
Cool.
So that way you can customize if you want to do more force abilities or if you want to focus more on lightsaber gameplay.
Force.
Yeah. Kill them all with space magic.
The force feels good. The first force power that I was able to unlock was the push ability. So
I really wish I had that in real life.
I know. That'd be right? So good.
Just push walls over all the time.
I was going to say people.
Brittany and I are on the same thing. We're both like, I just want to push people out of my way. Yeah. That's what I want to do.
Split the sea.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Yeah. Especially like if you're like at a mall or it's Black Friday or whatever, you know?
Yeah, I've always thought it's a really good thing that I don't have superpowers. Because I would just be... Is it the movie Chronicle?
Yes.
I would be the murderous one that everyone tries to kill at the end. That would be me. I would just be like, you're dead. Get out of here. You're dead.
I tried to save you. I tried to turn you to the or light then side.
I would just go up to the mountains and be like, goodbye. I live here now.
Live by myself on a mountain. So I thought that was really neat. I like to be able to customize. So the lightsaber is the only customization you can't do on the fly. The cosmetic skins for BD1 and for Cal you can instantly equip, which I think is a nice touch to be able to like see those changes in world right away. But you have to do the lightsaber customization, I believe, on the Mantis. And one of the other things that I thought was really neat is that they have some side quests. So when you're on the Mantis, you can walk around and talk to your companions. And then they have like little side quests for you. Like Grease has this terrarium on the Mantis. And one of the little side things you can do for him is to find seeds for him on the different locations that you go to then plant something in the terrarium. And so hypothetically, like by the end of the game, you have this like array of plants from different planets.
I hope he's a better greenhouse keeper than I am.
Yeah. No green thumb for you?
All of my succulents are dead.
Oh, no.
They're not all dead. Yeah, the really hard plants to kill, those are the ones I kill.
Well, the thing about succulents is they really only thrive outside, and people really want to keep them inside.
Yeah.
And like, you really just don't water them at all. Like, they like moist soil, but you like shouldn't water them. But like, they really just need outdoor sunlight. Like,
I don't have a lot of light in my apartment, so sorry, succulents. I might need to bring them up here so that they can get some light.
Yeah, bring them up. Oh, plant them.
It's like child splitting. Yeah.
So let me talk a little bit about the gameplay. So we are going to this planet and we're going into this tomb, and I'm going to leave the story details light. But essentially, we're going into this complex cave system, and it's super cool. Like, I really loved the level design. It's very clearly taking influence from other genres of games. Like, it has a little bit of a Tomb Raider feel, has a little bit of an Uncharted feel. There's a lot of like wall climbing, jumping. There's the puzzle element. This really massive puzzle that we had to solve felt a lot like solving some of the challenge tombs in Tomb Raider to me. And so I really loved that aspect of it. Mm. And it just felt really good. People had asked me a bunch of questions, and I'll get to the Twitter questions in just a second. But I think you're going to feel right at home with the wall run from Titanfall. There's these like ice luge moments where you're like sliding down and you have to dodge.
God, I hate those.
There's jumping. I do want a double jump. I'm hoping there's like a forced double jump that unlocks at some point.
I hope so. It seems like it would make sense.
Yeah. And so it feels really good. The camera control, not always intuitive. I want an ability to like either zoom in or zoom
like
out from the camera.
Or something? Okay.
Yeah, just to like, particularly in certain combat instances, it felt like the camera wasn't swinging around. But there are auto lock options within the settings that you can adjust, and maybe that was something that I was running into. But overall, the game looks beautiful. The cutscenes look phenomenal. Combat feels great. I definitely get why people are saying it feels Metroidvania-like, because when you open up your map, you can see areas on the map that are blocked. So there'll be like something highlighted in red that you need a special force ability to unlock that you haven't achieved yet. So you're like, well, I guess I got to come back here if I want to like 100% this world. And so it'll show you like where the health points are too. So that's
another... But is it... like, so in Tomb Raider there was a little bit of that, but a lot of it was like super optional. Like, it wasn't really like tied to the main stuff.
Correct. Yeah.
So what did it feel like, or could you tell in the 3 hours whether or not it's like that's a focus of the game, is like going back to places you've been, or if it's kind of like, well, you could come back or you could just leave it?
Well, in the one level that I played, you did have to come back to finish the puzzle. And so I unlocked an ability like midway through. So I ran into two different kinds of blocks. Like, one was blue and like one was red. Mm. And the red one, they were like, oh, it's locked. You can't get that way yet. But the blue one, halfway through the level, I unlocked the ability to use the force push to knock those walls down. Mm. And so then when I would go back through the level, I could open those areas to get to other places where I hadn't been yet. And they really do encourage exploration, because I went into this side cave and it was completely pitch black. And I walked around in the black for like a couple of minutes being like, do I need to adjust the brightness settings? Like, what's happening here? And then finally one of the techs who was, you know, watching, because I have so much staff at these preview events, uh-huh, to make sure nothing breaks. And like, it didn't, which never happens at press events. Always something breaks in the build, because these are pre-launch and nothing broke. And so I was very impressed with that. But he's like, hey, you know, if you hold LB, it'll hold your lightsaber up as a flashlight. And I was like,
What's the point of exploring?
So in this cave that I went into, which clearly was off the beaten path, there was nothing that was telling me to go over there. I just was like, hey, there's a cave over there. I walked in. When I got to the end of the cave, I opened up a chest and I got an upgrade, not a full upgrade point, but there's these other force upgrades that you collect. And so like every three you collect, it gives you an upgradable thing with the force. And so essentially, like, I could keep doing the game without ever having collected that one piece. Mm-hmm. But, you know, my reward for going down this dark cave was that I got something at the end of it. That's whether cool. It be a customizable thing for my lightsaber, a skin for BD-1, because you could get skins for the Mantis as well, or, you know, like an upgrade thing. So I think that is why people are comparing it a little bit to Metroidvania. And I would absolutely agree that it feels that way. So it's this really interesting mashup of elements of Uncharted and Tomb Raider, elements of Metroidvania gameplay, and then elements of Souls games, because not only is the combat feel, you know, Soulsy in some instances, but they also have these restore points, these meditation points that kind of feel like the flames or the fires or whatever in the Souls games. And at these save points, you can save, rest, and restore. So resting restores the life and the force, but will respawn enemies. So you have a force meter.
Ugh, hell no.
And you have a life meter.
Yeah.
And so you can get these stim packs that you can carry. Oh, that was it. That was the upgrade I got, is that I got the ability to carry an extra stim pack. So what you do is you hit up on the D-pad and BD, like, BD-1 throws you a little stim pack, and then you like inject yourself with like the health.
Stab yourself real quick.
Yeah. And so when you restore, you fill your stim pack reserves, you get full health, full force, but then all of the enemies that you've killed are now have respawned in their zones. Or you can continue on and just, you know, hope that you don't die. But if you die, you lose all of the XP since your last skill point.
That sounds horrible.
But if you find the enemy that killed you, it will restore the XP you lost and put your life and your force meters back to maximum.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's not like an uncommon thing.
That is very
soulsy.
Yeah.
So if you rest, you get your stim packs filled up. Can you go essentially grind enemies? Is that how you gain skill points? Is by experience? Or,
you know, that's a very good question. I honestly don't know. It would be worth asking somebody on their combat team if that's something that you could do. I have to imagine that they've balanced that somehow.
Yeah, like,
with enemies,
you would probably
that
cap out at some point and you wouldn't get very much XP for them anymore. But
yeah. Or if you've already killed them once, you might have to kill them again but not get XP for those specific enemies.
Oh, I'd hate that.
That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah, because I was wondering, you know, how do you max out your skill tree? If it has a skill tree, I was like, do you get the skill points from killing the dudes like most games?
Yeah, and then you get XP for opening chests, you get XP for killing enemies, you get XP for solving puzzles.
Okay.
So killing enemies is, with the exception of probably bigger enemies, is probably pretty small.
Right.
If you're getting XP for lots of things.
Yeah, unless it's like a boss.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so I walked away from this demo incredibly excited for this game. And I was, you know, always like interested in this game, but I think I have never really gravitated towards any of the multiplayer Star Wars titles, and it feels like that's really all we've gotten recently. Mm-hmm. And this feels like a bona fide, narrative-focused, single-player Star Wars game that's going to deliver on a really fantastic story. The gameplay feels rewarding, and the kind of overall atmosphere of the game just feels, it's got that Star Wars magic. And I'm not super deep into Star Wars lore. I've always been a fan of the films, and I really appreciate people who can help educate me about things that happen like in the books and everything else. Mm-hmm. But I didn't feel lost in this story as somebody who is just a fan of the feature films. And so I would say to people, if you are interested in Star Wars at all and you love a good single player game, like, this is absolutely worth checking out. Of course, you know, if you want to wait until after it launches to see how it does, you know, whatever your prerogative is, but I am super excited that this is going to be a day one game for me. And I absolutely think if they can pull off what I saw in the 3 hours that I played,
be my next question,
that this is absolutely game of the year material.
Okay. Interesting. Because I know when Steimer and I first saw it, I think neither one of us were exactly turned on by it.
No, I liked it.
No, I mean, the very first.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't until we saw it behind closed doors. Yeah, at that theater presentation that we're like, okay.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
Oh, yes. Actually, I do really want to
play this. Yeah, yeah. Okay, cool. Because it, from what we saw the first time, it looked very kind of linear-ish, Uncharted-like-ish in that sense. And then we saw the stuff behind closed doors. But it sounds like you didn't get that sensation at all.
No, definitely not. Obviously, this is not an open world game.
Right.
It's very instanced.
I don't need it to be an open world game.
No, and quite
please,
frankly,
no.
I don't want it to be either.
Yeah,
enough. Like, it feels like it's telling a path and it wants you to go on this path, but it doesn't force you down it. But there's just so many little touches that I thought were so well done. Like, for example, when you're traveling between planets, they have this cool moment where your teammates, your companions call you up to the cockpit, and the loading between the planets, you actually like jump to hyperspace and you can mm-hmm. see out through the windows of the spaceship of the Mantis, and it's like moving, and then like Seer and Grease are like having a conversation about something.
Oh, that's cool.
And you can walk around the ship while you're traveling, which is clearly like hiding a loading screen, right? Mm-hmm. And then when you're ready to land, Grease will be like, all right, get in your chair. And you walk up and you sit down in the chair, and then like it loads you into the next world. And it's just like so, like such a nice touch, mm-hmm. you know, especially after another game I'm playing that has a lot of loading screens that I can't talk about yet. But it's just like little things like that that make me really excited about it. I haven't walked away from a preview event like this feeling this excited about a game since God of War.
Well, so. I didn't go to this preview event, but I'll say similarly felt that way about Outer Worlds.
When you walked away from that preview event?
Yeah.
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 We can confirm that we have the Outer Worlds. We can't talk about it yet.
Yeah,
but I'm going to put a pin in this now because I've been talking about it.
Oh.
We'll fix it.
Yeah.
But I liked it. I liked it a lot. I'm very excited about
this. When does this game come out again? I forgot.
November 15th, I think. Let me double check. Star Wars.
Yeah, and all the preview that I've seen on Twitter, and everyone's loving it. So,
yes, November 15th.
Yeah.
Cool. Cool, cool, cool.
So I don't want to see any of you bastards in the comments calling Andrea an EA shill, because she's not the only one loving this game. If I see you in there, I'm kicking you.
I mean, I didn't work for EA this year, but, like, you know, it's like, here's the thing. Like, it's one of those, you know, unfortunate things that people always associate EA Play and my work with them, like, and that's fine. Like, I told you guys at the beginning, you know, that they invited me down and they took me to Disneyland and, you know, gave me drinks at the cantina. If you think that that's colored my opinion of this game, you know, that's your prerogative. It hasn't. If the game wasn't good, I would tell you. But I had a kick-ass time playing this game. And does it mean that it's going to come out the way that I think it is? Not necessarily. Because I walked away from my Anthem preview event really excited about Anthem and everything that I saw. And then they just didn't deliver.
Anthem.
You know, and we talked about what a disappointment that was. But I'm hoping that this game is not going to be that way. And
I definitely think this one has a better shot.
Oh, yeah.
It is more linear. It is more like...
It's single player.
Crafted.
Yeah.
yeah, you don't have to quite worry about things like Endgame and like all of those systems that are really hard to build.
And the live service aspect of it. And I think that Respawn as a studio has really shown that they put out successful products. Not that BioWare hasn't, because I love a lot of BioWare's games, but you know, they're just inherently a different studio. So I don't want to make this a comparison at all. I just want to say that sometimes games don't ever, you know, fully realize what we think that they're going to be from the small slice of the game that the development team shows us ahead of launch. Mm-hmm. So if you're still skeptical, I don't
I mean, yeah, you should be.
Then just wait till the game comes out, watch some Twitch streams, watch some YouTube videos, and if you're like, yo, this seems cool, it seems like something I'm excited for, then jump in post-launch. But I am definitely going to play this right at launch because I'm very excited.
It sounds good. I'm not really even into the Star Wars. Really not. Spaces have really never really been my thing, unless it's Mass Effect.
Yeah.
I'm excited for this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What have you been playing, Brittany?
I can't talk about what I've been playing. Death Stranding and The Outer Worlds.
We can confirm that we have copies of both.
Yeah.
Well,
that's it. Almost. I can't talk about it.
Well, we were playing it together, which was, I think, a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were passing the controller in Death Stranding, and that's all we can say.
That's all we can say.
Moving on.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Let's talk about Steimer's book before I do my next preview.
Yeah, so I haven't really been playing much because work. And then, but what I have enjoyed is going back home and reading for a bit because it gets my eyes off of a screen. Mm-hmm. So I read this book. I actually read it in like a week. It's a nice fast read. I believe it's called Nevernight. And it's about a lady assassin, a badass lady assassin. But it's like her kind of coming of age story because there's three books. And I read, obviously, the first one. I'm not crazy. I don't read things out of order. But it starts with her coming of age story in that one. So she is like in her teens and going to basically find this school for assassins to try and train and become an assassin because her family was killed when she was younger. Huh. And like she has an a vengeance sort of story. But the whole book is just really beautifully written, and it's not like over, I think I was telling the girls about it earlier. I was like, what I really like about it is that it's both simple and complex writing. Like the writing is very well done, but it doesn't like get up its ass too much. And because sometimes friggin' narrators will just like drone on and on about this bush in the corner and what it looks like and blah blah blah. And I'm like, okay, can we just
I don't care.
Can we like move along? But the characters were really well developed. I loved that, like all of it was great. It's a really nice, fun read. So if you are looking for something in that vein, give it a shot.
What's the name of the book?
Nevernight.
Nevernight.
So the whole thing is part of the world is it's almost never dark. There are three suns in this world.
Oh, okay.
And
so it's never
and
night.
So the suns are they're constantly like rotating, and there's only like once every several years does it ever become dark, and that's called true night.
Oh.
So it's interesting. I'm like, oh god, that sounds horrible. Like never
I'd have
dark.
So many blackout blinds.
Yeah. So and she has special I've totally skipped this part too. Whoops, but just like her thing is she is becomes like a darken, which means she can control the shadows, and like she has like a shadow friend, and like it's like oh, I want to be that girl. She sounds cool. So it's a really really good book. Highly recommend. Good.
Yeah. So I just googled it, and it's part of a trilogy so far. Yes. The Nevernight Chronicles series by Jay Kristoff. The kind of lead off line is in a land where three suns almost never set, a fledgling killer joins a school of assassins seeking vengeance against the powers who destroyed her family.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes. And you know, fair warning, it's a little spicy, which is good.
Oh, good. Wait. What does that mean?
It means it's a little sexy.
Ooh, I like it.
It's not too much. So like, if you're like, oh my god, whatever, is this like 50 Shades of Grey? No, it is not. but there's a little bit of spice peppered through that makes sense and feels organic and is good.
Now I want to read this.
Yeah.
I also finally finished Northern Lights, by the way.
What's up with you and Knights?
I don't know.
No, Northern Lights.
Northern Lights, but
technically it's called the Golden Compass here in North America. But we bought it when we were in London.
Yes.
So that's the first book of the His Dark Materials series. And I wanted to get familiar with it because of the HBO series that's coming. So I was like, ooh, I've never read this. And it was really hard for me to get into in the beginning. I would only read a couple pages at a time and put it down. And then I was like, all right, I'm bringing this on an airplane. I'm going to force myself to read this. And then I got to the good part and then I finished it quickly because I was like, okay, now I have to get to the end. So now I'm in and I'm excited and I understand everything that's happening in that world. So thank you for the recommendation.
Yes. Now you need what, the subtle knife?
One. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the next one. But I'm ready for books.
Yeah.
Book time.
Book time. It's so good for your brain.
So switching formats, we had a traditional video game. We've got a book. And now VR.
Ooh.
So I had the cool opportunity to go to Disney's campus. So Disney PR invited me to come by to play a new VR experience coming to the Void VR called Avengers Damage Control. So the Void VR is...
I don't know why this name makes me laugh.
It's like a standalone retail... Well, not retail, but it's like a standalone like physical space that you can go to and have like a VR experience where you put on a VR like backpack and a headset and you physically walk through a space.
I've always wanted to do one of these.
In VR.
Oh my God.
Yeah, what's really neat about it is that they've got, I think, 40 locations around the world is what they said. They're currently in 4 countries, expanding to 11 soon. They've got 3 in Canada, 1 in Malaysia, and 1 in the United Arab Emirates, and then the rest of them are all here in the States. Mm-hmm. You guys can go to thevoid.com if you guys want to look up where their locations are. But this new experience, Avengers Damage Control, is coming out on October 18th. And when they were like, oh, it's this cool Avengers VR experience, I was like, oh, I love Avengers. Let's go. So I went over there and they had everything set up as they would. So what's neat about the Void for people who have done maybe the Star Wars one or some of the other experiences is that if there's like a railing you see in the world, you can touch it in VR and feel it in the real world, which I think is a really neat thing. And so you can like walk down hallways. You can like feel the walk the length of the floor and like you don't like run into anything.
So the whole physical layout is mapped to the level.
It's mapped to the VR level.
That's cool.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. So the technology behind it is really impressive. And it's created by a group of developers. Let me see if I've got my notes here. So XLab helped create the experience and updated the engine with the Void team, which is ILM Cross Lab, or I think it's just ILM XLab is how you say it, actually. So obviously Marvel worked on this, ILM artists worked on this. There's a variety of teams all working on the tech to make this thing happen. And so I think it's a really interesting experience. So it was about 20-ish minutes long, which is a pretty good length for, if you think about like even like a Disneyland ride, like most of those are just a couple of minutes max, like 5 minutes maybe. If you're thinking about some of the longer ones like Pirates or, you know, It's a Small World or whatever.
Oh, God.
But this is was really cool. So the first thing you do when you walk into this experience is you put on this giant backpack and this VR headset, and the total gear weighs about 20 pounds, they say. Okay. So they're like, oh, you get a little bit of a workout. But for me, it was less about like how heavy it was and more about just getting the adjustment right. And so the VR headset felt pretty good. And I'm really particular because I have such a small face. I've talked about this on the show before, that some of the VR headsets, like the original Rift and the Vive, just don't feel good because I had to strap them down so tightly to keep the lenses in focus. But it felt great. I had a lot of fun. I played with one other person. It can accommodate up to 4 people playing co-op together.
Ooh.
And you play it kind of like as yourself. You're like recruited by Shuri from Wakanda, and she gives you this suit. And the suit is a combination of Stark Technologies and Wakanda tech. And so it's kind of like a mashup between the Black Panther suit and Iron Man suit, which is kind of neat. So you get these, you have these blasters in your hands that you use to shoot enemies. And you also have like an energy shield, so you absorb incoming damage. So if you raise your hands up in front of your face, it pulls up your shield and you can absorb like bullets that are being fired at you.
Oh, that's cool.
And then if you push your hands out, it fires like a mega blast out at enemies. And so the combat felt really good. What I thought was really great is that they brought so many of the actors from the MCU into this VR experience. Like, you know, Benedict Cumberbatch is there as Doctor Strange, and like he's in the world with you, and he's talking to you.
And how expensive must that have been?
I can only imagine how expensive it is. And it was just really neat. And I don't want to give too much away of the what happens, because there's some really cool moments that I want people to experience if you're planning on going to check this out for yourself, if you're close to a Void location. But I had never done something at the Void before, and so I was really impressed by all of the mapping and being able to touch things and have it be real. Like, there is a point where there's like a ledge, and I like put my elbow up to like rest while I was listening to this character give some dialogue, and I was like, this is neat that I can feel the thing that's in VR, but it's there, it's real.
How big was the space?
I don't know, because like you are in this like staging room when they put the gear on you, and then they like walk you to the entrance, and then the entrance opens, and then you step in, and then you're just in, and then you're inside.
That sounds so cool.
That's wicked cool. Yeah, like it's one of those things where I obviously don't really care about VR for a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But it's stuff like that where I would be interested in it, because it's more like a theme park, kind of a weird ride experience sort of situation.
Yeah.
That, and then when I got to play Rez with the full suit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was super cool as well. So, like, I think VR for me has to be really, honestly, really kitschy and, like, really.
Yeah. Like, all the bells and whistles.
Yeah, it needs to, like, take it up a notch in order for me to really be interested.
Oh, yeah. No, the pack that you're wearing, like, the vest thing, it, like, rumbles and vibrates when, like, you get hit by enemy fire, and there's all these effects. You can, like, feel heat. You can feel wind coming at you. They, like, will blow air if there's, like.
Yeah, see, that I like.
And that
I,
is so.
It would be fun to, cool. like, have it. More VR things like that,
right?
Or it's maybe like in an arcade sort of situation where like they're just different rooms and you can like do a Western shootout or whatever, like,
yeah,
but there is actually a room, because I feel like I don't like it, because I know I'm in a living room, I know I'm in a place, I'm constantly worried about hitting something,
right?
Or yeah. like pull, you know, just doing something wrong, and like it would pull you right out of it. So.
Yeah, it was incredibly immersive, because I was playing with another person who had been invited to come and cover the event. And so she and I would like, we could like wave at each other. I could like put my shield up if I was close to her. And we were walking around in the space together. And
that's
in the
cool.
beginning, I was like worried about running into her, but like they mapped it so accurately that, you know, we could stand side by side and you know, not hit each other.
Ugh, that's really cool.
I think we need to all do this for science.
I would
just
like
to look at Pornhub.
I'm down.
Searches.
I'm down. Yeah.
Do they have any other experiences?
Ah, yes. You know? Porn and Avengers. Hand in hand.
They do. I think they only do one at a time.
Oh, that makes
though,
sense. Yeah.
Because it's also very specifically mapped to that VR experience. Mm-hmm. But what they have right now is the Star Wars Secrets of the Empire is what they've been running, which people have told me is really cool too.
Uh-huh.
And then they've done Ralph Breaks VR is another one.
And this is like the new escape room.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
That's it.
I'm not sure if these vary by location. I'd have to check.
Yeah,
but.
No, that's, I think that's so cool. And that's something I would love. I mean, it's kind of hard to do something like that, I guess. I'm trying to think, how could you like mainstream this and do this in your own home? You couldn't, unless you had like a big yard and you bought like a specific like arena, you know.
Ooh, but, you could do like pods. You could bring pods, but they're not big enough.
Oh,
they're
that's
pretty
true.
Small. But something like that.
But you could do so many cool things. I mean, I know you wouldn't want to do Horror Slammer, and I don't know if you would be down. But
I mean, I would be down.
Yeah, like imagine like
I love haunted houses,
like a Raccoon City, Resident Evil style thing, and something like
I'll be
that.
In the corner
Dude,
eating
it
candy.
It would be
corn.
Amazing.
I know.
It would be super scary, but I'd be into it.
Oh, that is so. I would love to do this. We should go.
I don't
like it when people are like dressed as zombies. I'm not going to have a good time tomorrow.
You'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
You'll be
we'll hold your this hand the whole time.
Just close your eyes and walk behind
me. I don't want to look at you. You're gross.
I'll put like, who's a very attractive man?
There's a lot of them.
Okay. I could put his face on the back of my,
you could just put
on my back.
Put Cullen back there.
Oh, yeah. Just focus on Cullen.
And I'll be like, Cullen.
We'll just tape him to the back of my shirt. And then you
Great.
Can just stare at him
Love
the whole
it.
Time.
You could wear the shirt that our friend Faye, painted
oh, yeah.
for me. You can just flip it around and then perfect. I'll be looking at Colin.
There you go. That's perfect.
So yeah, wear it backwards. There you go.
Yeah. Anything for you.
But yeah, it was super cool. I'm really glad that I got to experience something like this. And so thank you to Disney for inviting me over and letting me try it out. It was really fun. And for people who are really deep into the Marvels lore or really love MCU, there's a couple cool tidbits that you'll get to see there. Like I said, I don't really want to tell you what you get to see because it's really cool. And there's some really cool, I mean, like there's like the voices that you recognize from the MCU. And
ooh, how are the graphics? How'd it look?
It looks amazing.
Okay.
It looks great. And
is it realistic graphics? Is it?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, so it's clear. So I use like Doctor Strange as a reference. I mean, you can absolutely tell that it's animated, but it looks really, really good. Okay. I mean, it's still VR, yeah, right? But I mean, Marvel is doing some wild stuff with animation. I mean, when you look at the age technology that they use in some of the films, like making their stars look like they're 30, 40 years younger or whatever. Yeah. If anybody was going to pull this off, it would be, you know, ILM and Marvel. So
true that.
Yeah.
Very cool. Fun.
I had a great time.
Yeah, I'm jealous.
Gotta go. We can't talk about the other games that we've been playing, unfortunately, for you guys. But we will be able to soon.
TM.
So next week, I believe, because next Friday, The Outer Worlds is out. So the review embargo lifts the week that week, and then it's the week after for Death Stranding.
I think it's November 1st.
I think so.
We can talk about the embargo, which is, November 1st. Yeah. So soon, TM.
Soon, TM. Indeed. All right, that's going to do it for segment two. When we come back, it's your Patreon-sponsored segment. Stick with us. It's going to be a fun one. What's good, everybody, and welcome to the final segment of the What's Good Games podcast. This is where we talk about something cool that we've been working on, and this month, our patrons have picked a cool thing to talk about, which we're going to mention in just a moment. But before we get to that, it's also that time where we get to give a special shout out to all of our wonderful Mythic members and above. Of course, if you haven't yet visited patreon.com/whatsgoodgames, we have a variety of membership tiers that you can get involved with to help support the show and everything that What's Good Games does. And if you are a Mythic member, you get a special shout out. So we're going to read a bunch of names. Are we going to read them all correctly?
Hell no.
Brittany, why don't you start us off, and then we'll run to Steimer, and then I'll go.
Sounds lovely. Chewie's godson.
David Akalucci.
Muhammad Muhammad.
Ferris
Alex Rogopoulos.
Lincoln Davis.
Joe Kennison.
Aaron J. Saxon.
Oh, yes.
This is confusing order.
Falal Aljimi.
Misael Vegas.
Sean I.
Matthew Simpson.
Justin Foshi.
Andrew Susan.
Sorry, I was doing a dramatic pause. Brendan Clark.
Nathan Colby Watkins.
Marcus Brown.
Marco Ontiveros.
Devin Nitz.
Michael Shanholtz.
Elmo Shell.
Patrick Higgins.
Tara Bruno.
Oh, God.
Sorry, I went
too
far.
It's okay. No,
I went too far.
Kia Bright.
Melanthius G. Owens.
Timothy Bennett.
Zach Hershey Kiss.
Maxwell Kramer.
Jason DeMich.
Alberto Vadella.
Bill Stilwell.
Tyler McCall.
Regan Impson. Jared Howard.
Joe Schlaff.
Trevor Stuckey.
Giselle Bassa.
Sean Stevenson.
Nam Bui.
RJ Bryan.
Carl Peterson.
One second as we scroll.
Oh, wait, she's there again. That's an accident.
Carl Peterson.
Hold on.
Boop.
Jessica Bloom.
There you go.
No, I was starting to read her name and then you cut me off and then I got confused.
Life is hard.
Whatever. Yusen Cagniomai. I'm so sorry.
Right? So Yusen joined last week and we read Yusen's name and we're like, we're definitely botching this. So please write us, tell us how to say your name. Yeah. I would love to know. Shy Jackson Burgess.
Brian Sweeney.
Jacob Imnirsis.
Paul Bryant.
Martha Emery.
Varun.
Michaela Sage.
Christian Rodriguez.
Throw Seven. Hey, friend.
Kyle Kaiser.
Joe Wilson.
Marty McFly.
Adam Kniston.
Jake Sue.
Jacob Safari.
The Ghost Dog 420.
Robert Adams.
E. Benjamin Shakis.
Checkness. Tony Shea.
Will Collum. I got a cat hair in my nose.
Trent Berry.
Oh, God.
Are you okay?
Oh, no, it's just tickling my brain.
Your nose is tickling?
Because I got a cat hair in my nose.
Oh, no. It's the worst.
It's all good.
That cat hair is not reaching your brain.
No, it just feels like my brain is tickling right now.
Justin Foss.
Brian R. Johnston.
Chris Wilson.
Ivan Bajarano.
Andrew Cotton.
Jasmine Lee.
Patrick Landry.
Oh, God. Noel Nevarez.
Patrick Weller.
Will Hernandez.
Punctified.
Rob Leonard.
Brian Harper.
Elizabeth Brooke.
Ariella Furman.
Pete Shoemaker.
Trent Bennington.
Emily Kent.
Roland Bala.
Paige Poda.
Lucas Cheney.
Pierre Blue Octopus.
Blah, 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 blah. Adrian Rock Williams.
Mark Drastrup.
Matthew Goddard.
Nicole Humphrey.
Brooke Lurie. Asia Harris.
Hi, bro. Sydney Carr.
Ozzy Mechia.
Ross Haney.
Gio Corsi.
Donatos Nijalathan.
Teresa Enert.
John Drake.
Stephanie Fitzwilliam.
Jonathan Kysick.
Ryan Lang.
Sid Sixzel. Sid Sixel? God, you just did this on purpose, didn't you?
David Gill.
Greg Fletcher.
Shay Pratt.
Maddie Stanley.
You skipped me,
Brian. I definitely skipped you.
Brian Sibley. Sibley. Sorry, I'm thinking of
Colin Graber.
Luke Wright.
Anthony Bowen.
Stone. Hi, Stone. Stone Chin.
Brittany Craig.
Darren Sugg.
Nathan Wilcox.
Dan.
Chris Swindles.
Christopher Klika.
Adam Fulton.
And last but not least, Keith A. Lewis.
I think that was our worst ever. We are deserving of that one star.
I'm so you know what? Yeah, I'm going to give it to that one star review. It's probably deserved.
That was just between cat hairs in my brain and me not knowing how to scroll. It just happened.
Okay. Well, you know.
Your keyboard is backwards, or your keypad is happening with backwards.
Life is so hard and confusing sometimes. Okay.
But so, you know what's not hard? Being a member at patreon.com/whatsgoodgames, where once a month we poll you to find out what you guys want us to talk about on the show. And this month, without surprise, it's spooky themed. Britt, take it away.
Thanks to Mikey Phillips, this month we're going to talk about if you had to be in a horror game or game. Wait,
movie.
I fucked that up. If you had to be in a horror movie or game, which one would you most likely feel like you would survive in?
Ooh.
So when we started this, I said this is kind of a trick question and there's an easy way out because technically I feel like you would survive in almost, you could survive in almost anything because you would just turn around and GTFO, right? Resident Evil 2. Right. Just don't go to Raccoon City.
Yeah.
Don't
just worry go about your brother. Anywhere else.
Yeah. Any scary movie. Don't split up. Just like get in the car and, you know, go back the other way. So for that, let's just assume like they throw you in the middle of this game or movie and you have to try to get away. You have to survive.
Yeah, I think I'm probably dead.
Yeah, you're definitely dead.
In most scenarios because I can't. And I mean, you've seen me scream and I curl up into a ball
fetal
position, which is not a very good defensive position when something is aggressively coming towards you. That's only a good comfort position to have when you are in safety. So I think for the most part, unless, here's the thing, I can kick into like, weird robot mode where I just disconnect from everything. And if I can get to that space and I have a gun, I'll probably be okay. Mm. But it's the fact of getting there where it would be like a hit or miss situation where there's a 50-50 shot. I just die in the first like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Do you think you could disconnect tomorrow at Halloween Horror Nights? Is that a possibility?
And you'll just be, like, I just won't be around? When I am in that mode, I'm not a fun person to be around.
Okay. Please don't do that.
So don't disconnect. Stay connected.
Yeah, stay connected. Yeah,
but I always think about guns and games, and I'm like, what would I do if there was like a Jason, like, you know, terror, actually like coming after me or whatever? And I have had like a very minimal experience shooting guns in real life, but I would imagine that if I was in the fight or flight mode, I would probably run versus like getting into a combat confrontation with somebody. But I think
you've been doing those sprints, Andrea.
Yeah, exactly. Just running really fast away. But I think that I could do really well in a world like Outlast because it's just a lot of hiding.
Mm.
Right?
Oh, no. My anxiety would be through the roof. I think stuff where it's like Days Gone or like a, which is technically not a horror game, but it's kind of like whatever. Yeah. I'm counting it. Screw you. Like things like that, or even like Last of Us, I wouldn't want to live in that world, but I could probably survive in that world because there are still hubs of civilization where, like, I know some people are like, no, your freedom is all that matters. Like, hell no. In these situations, I will go, I will be a worker, I don't care. Like, just keep me alive and keep the things away
from
me.
You'll be an NPC in these games.
I would happily be an NPC in any one of those games. I don't need to be the hero of the story.
Right. Thinking about Outlast, I don't like playing those games for the pure like fact that the anxiety to hiding and like running from whatever mutant things those are. Like hell no.
I don't like that you can only hide. Like there's like you just I feel way more helpless in a game like that where I'm just trying to not be spotted than I do in a game even like Resident Evil.
Yeah, and I'm thinking about Resident Evil. And I was laughing when I was putting this topic in the sheet because I remember that conversation you and I had that one time where I'm like, just go in a hotel room and hunker down. We had like this miscommunication where Samer thought like, oh, zombie apocalypse is starting. Let's just go to the room and stay. And she's
you said that. And I was like, no.
And that's not what I meant to say. And then I didn't understand. And I'm like, oh, now I know why you thought I was crazy. Because you don't want to like.
It's like, yeah, if the outbreak is spreading, you want to get away from away from the people.
Yeah, but if like shit's already hit the fan and like the freeway. Anyway. Story for another time. So Resident Evil, the thing about Resident Evil is that the zombies are slow shamblers. Like those are like easy to just like kind of run from unless there's
the lickers aren't.
And that's the problem, right? Is you have like
sorry, I wanted to make a really
cool ASMR.
Yeah,
girl. The lickers are like terrible. Mr. X is terrible. The everything is terrible in that game. So like as much as I'd like to say that my zombie survival skills would get me through Resident Evil 2, I don't know. Because like those characters take a lot of hits before they die, but in real life you take one hit, like they aren't all respawning. You know what I'm saying?
You're probably like down for the
count. Yeah, if there's three lickers coming at me and all I have is like five rounds in my shotgun, like
they better all be Jack Daniels.
Oh,
that was a play on words.
Oh, I was like, shots of alcohol.
That will be happening soon.
I think a world like Alien, I could do pretty well in. Because you
like the ones where you're being stalked.
What is with this? I don't like that at all.
I think of like in Alien, they have like they have weapons and as long as I'm just chilling with Ridley, I think we'll be okay.
Alien, I'm out. Predator, I'm out. Like I don't want no supernatural creepy things. No,
I think I know what horror movie I would survive in The Ring because all you gotta do is get one sucker to watch that movie.
I have a horror movie that I would absolutely 100% survive in, and it's. Fuck, what is it called? It Follows.
Oh!
Because you have to have sex. In order for that monster to get you. And I'm not that promiscuous. I would be just fine in this world. I'd be A-okay.
Just no banging and you're good to go.
Yeah, I would just be like, you know what?
Such a good movie,
I will just be celibate.
If you guys haven't seen that, have you seen that movie?
No,
somebody literally described that movie to me because there's no way that I would ever watch it. But
I'm trying to get the camera to come back and focus. It's still out of focus.
Hello, but no. Oh, there we go.
There we go.
It Follows is a really, really good movie, and it's creepy, but it's not like scary, scary, scary. We should totally watch it. So It Follows. That was a good one. But The Ring would be another good one. Like I said, all you have to do is make a copy of a tape and show someone, and then it's like, bye, you're dead.
I'm trying to think of like what other kind of horror movies that I could potentially survive in. Yeah, because like, I mean, if you do.
In Until Dawn, I would have never gone to that cabin.
Well, that's
if I had to go up
I would have turned the motherfucking lights on.
Yes, that's also true. They had power. What were you doing?
Jesus.
Why are you sitting in the dark? I think I would have just stayed. Yeah, I would just stay in the house. If I had to leave the house, I don't know that I could necessarily survive. Like, it's. Yeah, you have to stay really still, but those things look freaky and they're fast. The only thing that would be good is that they decapitate you real fast.
That's a very good point.
They're really, really skilled at killing you. So like, at least you're not going to suffer for a very long time.
Yeah.
You're just going to be, you're alive and then you're dead. Like, which is going to happen to everybody. So if you got to go, I guess you go quickly.
So most horror movies these days are all about little children. Okay, here's the thing. Families move into a new house. Oh my god, we got this really cool house. It's really beautiful and cheap. Why is it so cheap?
Oh, look at this doll, mommy.
Oh, yeah, look at this. Look at this doll. Isn't she pretty?
Wait, she's murdered us all.
Oh, no, she's trying to kill me. Oh, no. Now I'm hanging on the ceiling upside down with my head cricked at 90 degrees. But, seriously.
Need some physical therapy.
And so, like,
shit.
I guess think about a movie like The Conjuring or, like, Sinister. Like, I think Sinister is one, but basically, all of the scary movies do this. You have a child. You're in a house. Your child is possessed.
This is why you should never have children.
Your child is possessed, and they like try to kill you in the middle of the night.
Your kid tries to kill you?
I'm sure they do. Like the kid try to kill you. They try to kill others. They eventually try to kill themselves. Like what? I mean, the problem with that one is you got to always find a priest, and they got to do an exorcism.
Maybe you should just be a priest.
Oh,
maybe we should just be priests.
That doesn't always work out, though.
Save ourselves?
Only well, no. like The Exorcist.
Well, because they have to perform the exorcism, but then half the time the priests end up dying in the process.
That's true. And then these movies are usually cannon fodder, aren't they?
Right. Yep. And the movies, everyone dies, and it ends very sad because like there's no happy ending. So I don't know if it's even possible.
Because it still needs to be out there. Because if it's not, then they can't make a sequel to this movie,
right.
And then they can't make any more money.
Exactly.
So ooh. The priests are not as effective in the movies as I think they would be in real life if it were really.
What about the Saw movies?
Hell no! Absolutely not. 100% out. Never. Never. Never.
I
would take Outlast over Saw.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, like the Saw movies got to such a grotesque point that I have never in my life had this experience happen to me, but it happened to me, I think, with Saw 3, mm-hmm. where I got so overcome with nausea watching one of the scenes that I had to get up and walk out of the room. Huh. It was so grotesque.
It's basically torture porn.
It is.
And it's... That's why I'm like, that is not a thing that I am intrigued by or care to watch. I just, it's hard out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know, like, the sounds the character was making as this thing was, as he was doing this thing to himself, because he was doing it to save himself ultimately, but had to hurt himself to get out because, like, Saul loves that.
Oh, yeah.
I was just like, nope. I noped right out of it, and I never looked back.
Mm-mm.
I
good. Was like, that no, is a thank good, you. Good nope moment.
Yeah. So I would definitely not survive. I would probably just let myself be killed, then go through the torture.
Yeah. I'd be like, do you have a gun? Can you just put one in my head? It's done. Like, just, it's done now. Just, yeah. I'm not playing your games. Yeah.
So realistically, I think we all have the best shot at surviving, like the Freddy or Jason or whatever the heck, where you just have like a dude that can maybe be shot. Can they be killed?
No.
In the movies, they can't be killed?
I don't think so.
Oh.
I definitely do not want the one that's in your dreams. Is that Freddy?
Freddy.
Oh, okay.
No, because like, so I value sleep, and I would be very upset. I've already had my fair share of like horrifying nightmares lately. Hmm. So like, no.
Okay, they can't be killed. Then there's just
and yeah, and you can't really do anything about them.
No, you're just escaping.
I thought you could do something in your dream, or you have to do something to get them out. But I don't remember what it was. Like,
I don't know.
You have to like. What is it called? Lucid dream? Maybe lucid dream yourself a bazooka and like blow his ass up.
That would be something to do. That's for sure.
I don't think that's quite how it works, but it would be great if it did.
Yeah, it would be. Mm-hmm. Gosh, so many scary movies.
And I'm looking at the top
some
movies.
Some good ones.
Texas Chainsaw
I don't
Massacre.
Watch any of them. So it's really mostly what people have told me about movies.
Ooh, A Quiet Place. Because all you have to do is just not talk.
Well, yes and no, but it's not just not talking. It's not making any noise whatsoever.
Mm.
So it's like...
it's like walking, it makes noise. Any sort of movement makes noise.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
I talk to myself way too much. I would be dead.
Well, what was interesting is like there's a moment where they go somewhere, and I won't spoil it if you guys haven't seen it, but it's old now. You should see it. Go see it. It's great. Mm-hmm. It's on all the streaming platforms, I think, where they're like in this area where it's like there's something in the world that's making a lot of noise. And so they're able to like have like a normal conversation because like there's all
this white noise. Blanking out, yeah.
And I was like, why wouldn't you just like move there? Like live over where all the noise is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that would definitely be an option, but not a great way to live.
Yeah. Not necessarily. Yeah.
Let's
but I guess
see.
None of these would be great ways.
The
to
Blair
live.
Witch Project.
What is the story? What's the deal with that?
Basically, the movie follows a group of people into the woods, and they're trying to like film a documentary kind of thing
about
and,
these people that are disappearing.
Yeah,
well, like is it? Yeah, I'm no. I mean, I know what the Blair Witch. Oh. But I don't what the
thing trying to kill them is. It's the Blair Witch.
Okay.
And it's just like weird things start happening. And that one, again, you just like turn around, you just like fucking like leave
you're
the
like,
woods.
Oh, all right.
Don't even go into the woods in the first place. But, you know, they don't have technology, don't have cell phones back then. I don't think they did. GPSs. And then they get lost in the woods. They go in circles. And then they're like, oh no, there's a cabin. We're going to go in there and be killed. Just like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. If I run into a cabin in the woods, I'm probably not going to go in it.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of, what do you guys think about It?
Oh,
I haven't seen it.
Do you know about It though? Like what?
It's not a clown. It looks like a clown, but it's like a demon thing.
Yeah,
that really is it like the thing in Harry Potter where it like changes into what you're most scared of?
Sort of, but not really.
Okay, because he's mostly a clown, right?
He's mostly a clown, Pennywise.
Which is weird. It's like, why would you mostly be a clown? Granted, he looks freaky.
See, my problem is I see all these movies drunk. And then I don't remember.
That's all what you details. Want. You don't want to remember these
I know,
movies.
But then we have conversations like this, and I've seen it, and I've seen all that, and I'm like,
but yeah, like, what? Why does he target certain people based on kids, certain things? Right? Is it just kids?
It wasn't just kids, no. I don't remember what Pennywise's underlying motivation was.
Being a dick. That's his motivation.
Being a dick, killing things.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think of, like...
So it mostly comes down to, is there a demon that's trying to kill you? Mm-hmm. If so, you have to figure out how to exorcise the demon. Are there zombies? You just have to figure out how to outsmart them, get somewhere safe.
I think for me, it's more dependent on, like, is the whole world screwed? Like, zombies, I would be a hard out on, because to me, it seems like every zombie scenario you have, the whole world is screwed.
Because people turn on people.
People are just you'll never get out of that end state, or, like, you know, like, it will never not be a horrifying place to live.
Right.
Whereas something that's a little more one person targeted, like a Ring, like a Blair Witch, mm-hmm. like a It Follows, are more doable, because you have, there's a light somewhere, right? And then at the end of that tunnel.
You know, speaking of It Follows, I guess all you'd have to do is just get on a plane and just travel, like, across the world every now and again.
Yeah, you'd, because it goes really slowly.
Yeah, it literally just walks towards you.
I mean, again, if you're just celibate, you'd be totally fine. But if you did happen to get it, like, you just
STD ever.
Keep sleeping with people. Just go for it.
But the problem is, then, if those people are killed,
so either sleep with no one or sleep with everyone.
But the problem is you have to make sure that the person you sleep with then is also a giant slut afterwards and continues it.
Because if those people die, then it comes
back to you.
So, like, let's say, like, Simon has it.
I have it. I sleep with you.
Yes. You sleep with me.
Then you have to sleep with someone else. Because if it gets to you and kills you, it's coming back. It comes for me.
Yeah. So, like, Simon sleeps with Andrea. Andrea sleeps with me. I now have it. But it kills me. Then it's going to try to kill you. And then if it kills you, it's going to go after Simon.
So, basically, you have to just keep sleeping, like, a sleep chain. Like, a sex chain.
Yes. You have, like, an organized Discord chat where people are organizing, like, where they're fucking...
All right, whose turn is it?
All right.
Who's banging tonight?
And, like, you'd have to... and if you did that with people who did live, like, across the world, it could work out pretty well. So you're just, like, kind of trying to, like, transfer this.
I gotta fly to Japan. It would just be...
hilarious. Can we make a parody of this movie where the thing just gets really tired and, like, just takes a nap in the middle of the ocean?
It's just like, okay, you guys won. You tricked me.
Good job. My God. You have technology in these planes and I can't handle it.
Yeah, you're right. That would be a good idea.
Yeah.
That's a great... Oh, brilliant. See, we would survive in It Follows. There's the answer to your question.
It Follows would be the one. Yeah.
There you go. Done. All right. And that's going to do it for this episode of What's Good Games. Thank you to everybody for hanging with us till the end. We know it was a little bit of a long one, but we hope you enjoyed it. And thank you to all of our fantastic patrons for supporting the show. Oh, sorry. Here you go. And don't forget, next weekend is our fantastic extra live stream. Mark your calendars for Saturday, October 26th at 12 p.m. Central time, actually. I think I was saying Pacific time. It'd be 10 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Central time, since we will be in North Dakota.
Fallible.
Exactly. No. Actually, that's not right. And we hope that you guys watch either on YouTube or on Twitch and join us in person if you are going to be in Fargo, North Dakota. Again, we'll have lots more information coming on our social channels. And that's going to do it. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll see you next week. Bye.